about.
Ah, Reggie, what are you doing? Throw that stinky book away. I have something new that's going to revolutionize the way we do comedy on the show.
Whoa! This is cool!
No, Reggie, that's a microwave. This is what I'm talking about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It says here on your resume that from 2010 to 2011, you crushed it.
That's actually an old resume. It should also read that I crushed it from 2013 to present.
So are we to understand that you did not crush it in 2012?
There was a medical situation preventing me from crushing it to my usual standards, so
had to take some time off until I was able to crush it at 100%, at which point I resumed crushing it full time.
And now,
how's this? It's nice. But is it gay enough? I don't want to be kicking myself later that we should have gone more gay. Let's err on the side of gay.
It feels appropriately gay.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It's the 3rd of March. So explain again what happened this morning, Allie, in the shower. Oh, I didn't hear this story.
I've had a dull headache since Monday.
Uh-huh.
I Googled everything. It's either an alien, a baby tooth, or I'm dying.
Okay.
That's the beautiful thing about WebMD is
amazing.
Never go on there and they go, you're fine. Just don't worry about it.
Right?
Go somewhere else.
Don't worry about it.
So I had just washed my hair and I'm letting the water wash over me, get all the soap out. And all of a sudden, nope. No, this is not a sexy story, Kevin.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
I find myself kind of falling to the left, and I jerk back awake. I fell asleep standing up in the shower. What's wrong with me?
I didn't know that was possible.
Didn't either.
I am so glad you explained that, because I thought that my video had just frozen. I couldn't figure out, like, what's going on with the webcam.
Jerk.
Because I'm like, she's not moving? Like, this is weird. So now you're saying you were asleep.
Come on, dance, monkey. He's yelling at his screen.
That's very funny.
You fell asleep.
I fell asleep. And it must have been just for, like, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. But who falls asleep standing up?
I've never heard of that. I don't know. There are I have heard of stories of people who are working who fall asleep standing up just because they're just bone dead tired. Like at that point, you could sleep anywhere, you know. But in the shower, you would think there would be, I don't know, the water would keep you awake.
Right.
But I guess it's warm and you're comfortable and you're a little bit tired anyway because it's first thing in the morning. So
but you're also standing up.
Yes.
You are standing up. Yeah.
Yes.
That seems dangerous, by the way. It seems like that would have been an easy fall.
I should invest in those, like, old lady showers.
Yeah,
like candles everywhere.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's time.
Do you have stairs? Maybe you need one of those chair lifts that goes up.
Yes. I like it.
Oh, yeah. And then I could get a little rascal just for when I'm hanging out.
Yes, for all your trips to Walmart.
Yes.
If you are if you're doing any remodeling in the bathroom, I just ask you don't put anything in front of the smoke detector. If you just would, I don't block the view of that.
It's just real gross now.
I'm just
like before,
saying.
It was kind of funny. Now, now I'm thinking I do have a smoke detector. Right.
Well, hey, Allie, don't answer this question if you've already seen the story because it has been online quite a bit the last 12 hours or so. But there's a little girl who's made the news. All over the country. She is, I want to say she's 5, I think her name is. I automatically dislike her because her name is Chloe with a K. So I hope bad things happen to her in her whole life.
That's not her fault, though. You understand that's the parents.
I know, but the parents named her after, I assume, freaking Chloe Kardashian. And by the way,
that's a weird assumption, by the way.
Chloe with a C. Why? Is there any other?
Well, I'm sure there are others.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear in your whole life of Chloe with a K before she came along?
I don't know.
Chloe with a C has existed
really
as a name for hundreds of years and was a beautiful name.
Okay,
and now all of a sudden there's Chloe with a K, this little turd girl.
Chloe feelings.
All good.
I do have Chloe feelings.
I'm sorry, Bean. What else?
She's in the news because of a thing that they pulled out of her nose. And
bitch.
She's not a bitch, but she did put something in her nose, and here's the story from Channel 2 this morning about the little devil child, Chloe, with a K.
Every time you look at her, you could see that there was
snot, like that she had discharge coming out of her nose.
All right, so that's her mom talking to Channel 2 News this morning about how this little girl's nose was running for a long
time. Why is snot? Mom Caitlin Powell says it was 6 months ago when kindergartner Chloe's nose wouldn't stop running.
At first, I was just assuming, oh, it's a little cold. No big deal.
What do you mean, why snot?
I said, why is snot so much better than saying discharge?
But it I don't know, but it is.
Oh, God.
It is.
But then it came with an odor.
It was the most horrific smell you can ever imagine.
Oh,
so
this does
God. Not. Oh, this isn't going to end well.
I hate this.
So, look, Chloe's fine. I told you at the beginning that she had something in her nose. So she's not sick or anything. She's fine, okay? But let's find out more and what was in her nose for 6 months, by the way.
Caitlin says she took Chloe to 3 different doctors. They all examined her and thought she had some sort of a sinus infection. So they prescribed antibiotics, but
I would be annoyed if I went to 3 different doctors that all missed this thing. Like, when you go to the second doctor, shouldn't he or she say, well, you've already been to one doctor. Maybe it's not as simple to diagnose as just you need an antibiotic. Like, I don't know, an x-ray or something to figure out what's going on, right?
Right.
Right.
None of these seem to work.
She says she even took her to the dentist, but still nothing. Until last weekend, when the 5-year-old blew her nose really hard.
We blow her nose, and it just shot out. And there it was. And it was, we were like, what?
All right, Kevin.
Can we guess?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Has to be some type of bug.
Really?
Yeah, we think a bug.
For 6 months? Wouldn't a bug have deteriorated?
It has to be some type of toy. I'm thinking toy in the toy world.
A toy.
It was a Kylo Ren stuffed doll.
All right. It's a good guess. I mean, Star Wars wasn't out yet, but okay, that's a good guess. But sure. Allie, what's your guess?
I'm going to say it's like a coin. Like she stuffed like a dime up there.
All right.
Or a raisin.
Okay.
You can't. Those are two different things. That's two guesses.
As soon as I said dime, I thought raisin's better. Okay, whatever.
Chip, any thoughts?
Lego.
A Lego. Oh, all right. These are all good guesses, but you're going to be surprised to hear.
An inch and a half long safety pin, longer than a quarter, bigger than Chloe's nose.
A safety pin.
What's wrong with you?
An inch and a half long safety pin had been up her nose for 6 months.
It was all just rotted, snotty, and black.
I was horrified.
What happened to Chloe is not uncommon. There are about 80,000 cases a year of kids putting foreign objects into their bodies.
80,000 cases a year.
Okay.
Why are you laughing? What
I
happened?
I love that. I just love that people put stuff in their bodies all the time. And 80,000 is crazy.
Body.
Did you ever do that as a kid that you know of, Kevin? Did you ever swallow something that you then had to, you know, had a problem with?
Not that I remember, but let's all be honest, I did.
You probably did.
Get your family.
Popular items being coins and safety pins.
Why would a safety pin? Is that just because tiny little kids, like babies, maybe have access to a safety pin because they're using them on
like
diapers or something?
Yeah, that
you wouldn't
could be.
Think that you would want a kid anywhere near a safety pin, right? Because it would be sharp. But 80,000 a year of foreign objects.
According to an online article from the Encyclopedia of Children's Health, Chloe admits she forgot she put the pin in there, but she'll always remember it coming out.
I just think it's really disgusting.
Jennifer Kastner.
Same.
That's what I think about that.
CBS 2 News.
So she's fine, everybody. Little Chloe is fine. I hope she stops putting things in her nose and that she changes her name and spells it right.
Who's hungry?
So you're saying Chloe with a C wouldn't have done that?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Chloe with a C is a little girl's got makes some sense.
All right.
Got some class.
Right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Last night, and we talked about this a lot on the show yesterday. Last night, Foo Fighters made a big announcement, and it was weird.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny and strange and weird.
The best, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to have some a recap of that coming up in about half
how
hour.
How about them Foo Fighters?
Right?
They are some wacky, some bitches.
Jim Rome is on the program today talking sports.
We'll talk sports with our...
No, you're just hateful.
All right. Do you just want to continue? Because I feel like I'm not needed here.
I'm not needed either, apparently.
A brand new internet roundup?
Oh, great, the internet roundup. Like we're the only ones with Wi-Fi. Get a clue.
Please. He's very judgy.
Wow, that guy's a dick. And William Shatner's on the program today.
You meant to say the great William Shatner. How are you going to disrespect him like that? Hey, Allie, how you doing?
This is disturbing.
My friend Petros said you've got a great fart box.
Bean spent 10 hours yesterday by himself laughing and putting this stuff in. Am I
Congratulations, Kevin. You just met your replacement.
Yeah.
What's the right decision? We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Jesus. Can we be done already? I want to switch over to Big Boy's show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
And the return of our friend Ralph Garman. Hey, Mr. Garman.
Hello.
We missed you yesterday.
I was missed. No.
Yeah, you
I missed you guys.
I saw the photo. I think Allie posted it last night. You want to? Is it okay to mention where you were yesterday?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yesterday was Dr. Seuss Day in schools all over this great United States of ours.
It's his birthday.
Right. Theodore Geis, who was Dr. Seuss, had a birthday yesterday. So in order to celebrate, a lot of schools, what they do is they declare it Dr. Seuss Day, encourages reading amongst kids, and his popular book series, of course, is beloved by millions of little ones. So anyway, this was coming up, and one of my favorite books to read to Olivia is The Cat in the Hat. And so she loves it. And so she found out this was going on, and she said, Dr. Seuss Day is coming up at my school. And I said, well, I bet I could get The Cat in the Hat to come read his book to you, to your classmates.
Because you're in show business. You know people.
Sure. Cat and I have the same manager.
What?
Cat. I call him Cat because we're pals.
Sure.
So,
I have to call him Mr. Hat.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's coming up, and then Cat, bastard that he is, pulls out the last minute.
What?
Cancels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, son of a bitch.
I got Bird by the Cat in the Hat. That's what happened. So, not to the point disappoint the kids, I had to jump into the fray and fill the hole that was left by the Cat in the Hat. So, yesterday, I went to my kid's school, and I performed the Cat in the Hat for all of the kindergarten classes.
Full makeup. Costume, everything.
Yes, and put together a PowerPoint presentation featuring the pages of the book along with sound effects and music so the kids could follow along.
God, I hate parents like you.
Wow.
Why? Why do you hate?
Because then it's like I go up and go, hey, this is how you mispronounce words. And they right. go, bring back the funny guy.
Right. Well,
he makes everybody look bad.
Anyone who lets you into a school, Kevin, to talk to children is making a
bad asshole.
Yeah, Kevin's error in judgment.
Kevin's not participating in Read Across America.
Although, how I would dare pay you cash all. Money to have Kevin get up and read in front of me.
I'm saying you're a ringer. It's not fair. The other parents probably hate you as well.
Parents have certain skills they can contribute to their kids' education. This just happens to be my thing, so I put on a show for the kids yesterday, and we had a great time, and it was kind of fun. So.
Hey, kids, let me explain an Airbnb. Get the funny guy back!
So that's why I had to step out and do a little something yesterday for the kids.
That is, that's magical, Ralph. That's really great.
It was amazing. I just love performing. I've done a couple things for my kids' school over the years, and I just love performing for kids because there's no more appreciative audience. No tougher audience, mm-hmm. but no more appreciative audience. And the kids yesterday were just adorable, and many, many of the children were terrified of me. So that made me feel good. But I also got a lot of hugs and stuff, and it was a great experience. So I'm sorry I had to take a personal day yesterday, but I thought that was a memory worth creating there. So
absolutely.
That's where I was.
What did Olivia say to you afterwards?
She was a baller pretty much at school.
She's a baller.
I was going to say, people probably thought she was so cool for knowing the Cat in the Hat.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone knew I was Olivia's dad.
Oh.
And I was like, how does everyone know? She was like, I don't know how it happened, but somehow somebody told everybody that you were my dad and you were the one who was doing the show.
Well,
I don't know how
they found out.
I can't imagine where the leak was, Ken, but I've got a team investigating.
Okay, good.
I've got my IT man looking into it. Maybe there was a breach in my firewall or something.
That's a problem.
I can't imagine, but yeah, she was quite the popular kid yesterday when she spilled the beans. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was good times. Let's take a look at the showbiz news this morning. Adele is, she's no Cat in the Hat.
Asshole!
She's not at all.
Oh, come on.
She's kind of amazing. She is the busiest woman on the planet right now with her career and her tour, and she's got her own kid at home. But she made some time for a kid herself. yesterday. The Belfast Telegraph reports how she made a special trip out of her way to fly in to meet a 12-year-old fan of hers named Rebecca Gibney, who is not only blind and has cerebral palsy, but is terminally ill.
Oh, dude.
Her mother, Tracy Gibney, says that Adele showed up, played with her hair, held her hand, and said that she wanted to spend some time with her, and did. Spent hours with this kid, communicating the best that she could. The mother said that she knows when her little girl passes on that her dream will have come true because she loves listening to Adele's music. So, it's pretty cool.
Aww.
Right now, Ellie is thinking, how do I get into a hospital? And
yep.
I am not. Well,
you know how little Tracy, little Rebecca's symptoms first presented? She fell asleep in the shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm just saying, there's hope, Ellie.
Scary.
Who does that?
Who does that, indeed? Congratulations to Chris Carmack from Nashville. Love me some Nashville.
Yep.
He plays Will Lexington on Nashville.
He's dreamy.
He is engaged to a violinist, a fiddle player, named Aaron Slaver. And they posted an emoji-filled photograph on Instagram with their announcement. Shockingly, to my amazement and dismay, Aaron Slaver is a girl.
Yeah, he's just gay on the show.
Right!
Yeah.
How disappointing. I need my performers to tell me the truth.
Well, that's the opposite of what...
I don't want him being all straight. How dare he not be in the closet, out of the closet?
What?
What?
Right?
Okay. The most shocking thing about that show, and I think Nashville's coming back here pretty soon.
March 16th.
All right.
I mean,
not that you're looking forward to it or anything.
The most shocking thing is how unbelievably talented all of those actors are as singers and musicians.
They are touring now as legitimate musicians and selling out venues all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
This Chris Carmack's got his own EP out right now, but he does not sing country music.
What's he sing?
In real life. It's kind of folk. Folk R&B kind of a little bit, but not country.
Life is a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't trust anything this guy says.
You better be a gay cowboy, or else there's going to be big trouble, Chris, when I see you next time.
Or the first time. Your whole life.
Also, who's the one, Juliet's ex?
A deacon?
No, Juliet's ex. With the kid. Her husband.
Oh, yeah. What's his face? Avery.
Avery.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Avery also has a band that is kind of alt-rock that plays around the country.
Very talented also.
And
also
Deacon, talented. Chip sells out all over the place.
But he's a real cowboy.
He's a Broadway star, that guy.
He sings this kind of music. No, Deacon's not the Broadway star.
He is.
No.
Chip.
Yes, he's a. He has been in lots of plays on Broadway singing musicals.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No, Will Wheeler.
Yes.
He's the Broadway star.
He's the Broadway star.
Deacon, I don't know who any of those people are.
Deacon was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
The improv guy.
The improv guy.
He does that too.
Hey, I have a question. Why does anyone listen to this radio show?
The Broadway star is the other guy.
Yeah, Will, who's Raina's ex.
Right,
and
yes.
Now Deacon and Raina are getting married.
Right, he was also on Smash and has a big Broadway resume.
Well, they're all very talented at everything they do.
Unlike us.
And my friend Steve Kazee is actually going to be on that show.
I will burn this mother down.
Oh, yeah, now she went over the line.
Steve Kazee, who's not even on the show yet. Now we're talking about that for the second time. Tell me more about shows that no one has seen that your friend's on.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
That's a great point, Kevin.
Steve Kazee's great.
Shut up, fool! Today's celebrity birthdays. Finally, T shows up. Where's he been?
We could have used him about 3 minutes ago.
George Miller, the director, is 71 years old today. He had a pretty good Oscar night.
He's a Mad Max guy, right?
Yes, he is. Hence my he had a pretty good Oscar night reference.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, connect the dots for...
That was about an hour and a half of that show.
Yeah, Fury Road did very well.
Really did.
Julie Bowen from Modern Family, so terrific on that show. She is 46 years old today. And actress Jessica Biel celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
William Shatner on the program later on today. Also, we talk sports with our friend Jim Rome. And stand by for your chance in just a few minutes to win tickets to the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2016, which is fast approaching, coming up on April 2nd at the Shrine. And we also have some big news about the show that we'll unveil coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on KROQ.
All right. Yesterday, we were guessing what the Foo Fighter announcement was going to be. Allie was filling in for Ralph. She said Foo Fighters posted something on Twitter saying in 24 hours, they're going to make an announcement.
yesterday on the show, on the Kevin and Bean show, we were discussing that. And you have to understand that I've spent half of my life listening to Bean ask for more information about meaningless stories. Mm-hmm. So when Allie said, Bean, what do you think the announcement's going to be? I was a little surprised by this response.
My initial thought was, I don't need to spend any time thinking about this because it really barely affects my life. And I'm eager to hear I'm eager to hear the announcement when they make it. But I don't need to sweat it for 24 hours. When they make the announcement, I'll read it and absorb it. What would be the advantage of me spending any time today living my real life in worrying about what Dave Grohl's going to say tonight?
I mean, what else do you got going?
It's not really worrying as much as it is, hey, what's the announcement going to be? A little curiosity. How can you be against that?
I am curious. I'm eager to hear the announcement, but I'm not spending any time guessing.
You're not fun. All right. Yes. So that was yesterday.
Right. Who was that guy?
I don't know.
Right? I'm a guy who generally likes more information. I agree with you, but I was thinking about this yesterday after you called me on it.
What about that missing plane?
By the way, they may have found the plane. Yeah. You heard about the tourist? You found it?
Nope.
Okay. So here's my whole thing. I didn't expect there to be any kind of an announcement. I was kind of in your camp, Kevin, which is it's not going to be bad news, if anything, like because they wouldn't tease it that way. I agreed with you on that.
Okay.
So it's promotional. It's some promotional announcement that they're going to make. I certainly didn't expect that the announcement was going to be nothing's changed.
That they're not breaking up.
Yeah, so the whole world was talking about Foo Fighters for 24 hours so that they come out last night and say, hey, you know the Foo Fighters? Still the Foo Fighters. Nothing's
different. I loved it so much. Allie texted me with the link. She's like, look at this. It's awesome.
Look now. Go.
It was so good. This is Foo Fighters from last night. They went and they put up the video, and Dave Grohl is sitting on a couch at the beginning of the video, and he's talking to Butch Vig, huge producer.
Who produced, obviously, Nirvana back in the day.
Right. And he's talking about the idea that maybe it's time for Dave Grohl to do a solo project.
I mean, seeing as how that Academy Awards thing went so well, I got to thinking, maybe it's time, you know, for me to do my own thing.
All right. So that happened.
Which is exactly what a lot of the articles were saying.
And that was like one
so
of the,
great.
Yeah. That was a rumor,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the rest of the Foos now they cut to, and mm-hmm. the Foos are in a room by themselves, and you know, Dave's not there.
So what the f***?
He's gone f***ing Hollywood.
First he does the Grammy thing, and then he goes on the Oscars without us.
Ooh, look at me. I'm the big guy out front with the guitar.
Whatever, Dave.
F*** him.
So good.
I love that. So then it cuts back to Dave Grohl in a recording studio, and he is recording a song, which I think we need.
Oh, yeah.
Called Phony Baloney.
Mm-hmm. What? Come on, baby. Feeling hungry. Need a little phony baloney.
See, who needs the band when you
right?
can just make great solo material like that?
Okay. Cut back to the band without him, and now they're tossing out names of possible lead singers.
Hagar?
What about Gwen?
A little sex appeal in the band.
Should we go Corgan?
That'd be a good way to,
Chris Cornell. Eddie.
Phil Collins.
The original.
It's the original drummer comes out front, does it, bigger than ever.
What's Jane's Addiction doing now?
Prince did our song, The Best of You at Super Bowl.
Bieber.
Uh-huh. All right, they're just, just workshopping a little bit. We got to get somebody in here to sing. Why not?
Who shows up?
Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey.
From 98 Degrees.
I saw him, and I was like, I know him, but I don't know his name. He shows up with Foo Fighters and starts singing with them.
The only thing I'll ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say.
Sounds like they're fine. They're off and running.
Cut back to Dave Grohl in the studio, still working on Phony Baloney.
I ain't no phony baloney. Got to give me baloney. Got to give me that baloney.
Come on.
I need it. And then,
and then at the end, it just says, Foo Fighters, there's no solo project. We're not breaking up.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what it was.
So I guess this was just their humorous way of addressing all the rumors.
Yes.
Because they get asked all the time when that's going to happen.
But here's what I know. I need more of...
What?
And I need more of...
Got to give me that baloney.
Right?
So it sounds to me like you're encouraging Dave Grohl to make that solo record that he just spent all this time telling us he's not going to make.
I'm saying just that song.
All right.
I feel like we need it.
Hey, you should be planning at noon tomorrow to be on AXS.com to buy your tickets for Kevin Bean's April Foolish 2016. Hard to believe this is the 8th year in a row we have put on this show. We are back at the Shrine Auditorium this time, April the 2nd. We had a tiny bit of drama with the rollout this year. Would you guys agree?
Well, I would say, yes. I would say we announced the show and then 2 hours later found out that Bill Burr couldn't do it.
Yes.
And I would
that's
say
a
that's
problem.
That's not ideal.
No.
It wasn't the smoothest thing that has ever happened on this air, but on the air on our show. But when you look at all the times we've screwed up throughout the decades, it doesn't even make the top 50, right? But it was disappointing, obviously, because we love Bill Burr. We were so excited to have him on the bill, and you know, hey, maybe next year, fingers crossed, we'll try to reschedule him when he can do it. But it was already a tremendous lineup with Bob Saget and with Eddie Ift and with Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger. Wheeler Walker Jr. is going to be making his debut appearance on the Kevin Bean April Foolishness this year. He's hilarious. But we still thought, hey, you know what? We cut Bill's set. We do have room for one more. Who you got?
And the answer is Jay Moore.
The answer is Jay Moore, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! The answer is Jay Moore.
One of our very best friends in the world and one of the funniest guys on the planet. And that just makes me so happy to have Jay Moore now rounding out the bill for April Foolishness. So
I feel like Jay Moore always comes in to save the day. And well, now I'm getting suspicious.
No, I feel like
he cut Burr's brake lines or something like that just to set himself up to be the hero.
He's like, Jonah Ray's out. I'm in. Bill Burr's out. I'm in.
No, that happened just the opposite way. We go, Hey, Jay, you know how we're friends and all?
Uh-huh.
That was last year. This year, he just texted me, and I'll tell you that story in a couple of minutes. But we're going to give away some tickets for April Foolishness, and the way we're going to do it is the way that we did it yesterday, but it failed miserably. So what do we do? Go right back and try it again. You got to get back on the horse.
Yes, we're talking about punchlines, and this is the game that we play where you call us and don't tell us the joke. You got to know the joke, but you don't need to tell us the joke. You just need to give us the punchline on the air at 1-800-520-1067. We'll hear everybody's punchline, and then we'll pick the best one. Then we want to hear the joke, because how can we not? And you'll win tickets to the Kevin Bean April Foolishness 2016. So just the punchlines is all we're going to need from you on the air at 1-800-520-1067. And you will win tickets to this great lineup now, also featuring Jay Moore.
Super lice is a thing.
I saw that super lice was in the news. Now, lice, is this a thing? Forgive me because I don't know anything about lice. Is this a thing that only little kids get or can anybody get lice?
I think once somebody in the family gets it, that whole family
gets it. It's pretty much guaranteed that your entire state will get it.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's very common among little kids in school because, like you say, one gets it and then the other 30 kids in the room all get it. And then it just spreads throughout the whole school like crazy. And lice are little bugs, right, that are in your hair. And they are usually pretty easy to get rid of. You usually just – it's just some sort of medicated shampoo or something is usually what you use.
That used to work 100% of the time. Now it works 25% of the time. You can't buy anything over the counter. Here's the story on super lice.
Super lice are invading the heads of hundreds of kids in Missouri and Illinois, and getting rid of the insects isn't easy. The FDA recently approved a new treatment.
There is a heating device that kills the insects and dehydrates the eggs. And there's a clinic in O'Fallon, Missouri that offers this treatment. It costs $165.
Lice Clinics of America St. Charles has seen its share of super lice. The creatures are resistant to the chemicals in most over-the-counter treatments.
The super lice has been really bad. We've seen over 250 people with it. Most of our clients have already tried everything that's over-the-counter and even prescription. And they cannot get rid of it. Selfies and things like that help with the transfer of lice because we're putting our heads together to take pictures and we're getting really close. So we're seeing even more teenage girls getting it.
The O'Fallon Clinic sells shampoo, but they also use a heating device that takes about 30 minutes to kill the live lice and dehydrate the eggs, a method Amy Butts is grateful for.
Yes, Bean, her name is Butts.
Is her name really Amy Butts?
Yes.
And she's grateful.
By the way, the if you work at the Lice Clinics of America, do you ever get laid?
And how itchy are you all the time? Constantly itching.
The Lice Clinic of America is a place. Well, we wanted to find out more about this this super lice. So the clinic that was mentioned in St. Charles, which I believe is in Missouri, by the way, we asked Dave to light up, and I think we have somebody on the phone from the clinic joining us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, we're calling to talk to somebody who knows about super lice.
I'm sorry, they're busy right now, but I can speak with you.
You're a receptionist?
No, I am a mild-mannered nit living in the hair of a second grader. But yet, when I don my costume, I become the all-powerful invader of pubes. I become Captain Crab.
Wait a minute. What's happening here?
Yes, Captain Crab, born from a strange planet, able to lift tall pubes in a single bound, able to make your crotch all itchy, able to keep you from dating. I am Captain Crab.
Now, Captain Crab, you can answer the phone?
Yes, I can. That's just one of my many superpowers.
Okay.
That sounds like it.
Now, when I think of lice, especially among little kids at school, I just think of it as being in the hair on top of their head. But you're saying that lice spreads to grown-ups in their groins, too?
Oh, you mere mortal. You are so humorous. Yes, of course, many of my brethren live amongst children's heads. But only I, Captain Crab, king of the pubic lice, can invade your crotch and make your life a living hell.
So what makes you a super lice? Why are you so much stronger and more effective than the lice that we grew up with?
Due to a strange chemical accident, I have become Captain Crab, defender of the pubis, invader of the vulva.
Oh,
wow.
Making testicles itchy for everyone.
All right, now what about the part of the story where they said that the shampoo and the over-the-counter medications used to work? How did you get past
I laugh at your puny chemicals.
How did you get past that?
I am able to bend chemicals with my bare hands. Not that you would do that, because that's not really a thing. But I am impenetrable to chemicals and all mortal ways to defeat a lice. Or light. What's the singular of light?
I don't know.
I gotta look that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what about this new treatment that they talked about?
I laugh at your new treatment.
Oh, you do. It doesn't work either, huh?
Heat cannot bother me. I am impenetrable to all things. Oh, hold on. I'm in this guy's patch right now, and he's trying to get rid of me. Ha ha ha! You cannot stop, Captain Crab.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Bullets. Was this you fighting back?
Bullets bounce off my chest, you foolish mortal.
What?
Wow.
Well, actually, they don't bounce off my chest. They miss me because I'm very small. Bullets are large. But I cannot be stopped by your mere mortal ways. I will live in your pubes.
Chainsaw? Oh, no.
No? Ah, I laugh at your chainsaw. Once again, because I'm very small and you can't reach me.
Yeah.
I am Captain Crab. I will make you itchy downstairs and everyone will say, hey, quit scratching yourself down there. That's creepy.
What? What is that?
An electrical charge.
Oh.
Oh, mere mortal electricity cannot bother me.
Well, you are resilient.
It does bother me a little bit, but it won't kill me. All right, using swords is just dumb.
What? He's using a sword?
He's using a sword around his own genitals. That's just
dumb. That's dangerous.
That's
dangerous.
Really? Hand grenade? Is that a good idea?
Oh, a laser.
Lasers! Lasers! Well, if you laser all your hair off, I will have nowhere to live. So that one might work.
Ah.
What's that? Blowtorch.
A blowtorch.
A blowtorch will make your testicles all crispy.
This guy's not giving up.
Don't do that.
don't do that. Good advice, Super Lice. Much later in the show yesterday, we did punchlines to win tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Just 2016. What went wrong? What was the problem, do you think?
I feel like everything.
Just that?
I can't really pinpoint any one thing.
We love punchlines.
Our winner told only half of the punchline.
He screwed up the joke. That's what it was. Right. He screwed up the joke. And the punchline was, if you remember,
the nun had hope in her soul.
Yes. See, now that's the kind of punchline that you hear, and you go, I got to hear me the joke. Right.
But that wasn't the whole punchline we found out
later. No, there was more to
the
punchline.
We found out later.
So good times.
So we want to hear your punchline at 1-800-520-1067. If it is selected, you will win tickets for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016 at the Shrine Auditorium on April 2nd. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Saget, Ift, Iglesias, Fitzsimmons, Schlesinger, Wheeler Walker Jr., and just added the great Jay Moore will be on the bill. Let's play Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into April Foolishness.
All right, looks like ladies don't like the jokes, by the way. We got all dudes on the line for this Punchline edition.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to go to number five, but we'll see when we get there. Jason in Los Angeles, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Give us your punchline, please.
Tooth hurty.
Tooth hurty.
All right.
All right.
I'm intrigued. Thank you, Jason.
Go to David in Irvine. Hi, David.
Hey, what's going on?
Punchlines is what's going on. What do you got?
Punchline is not even bra.
Not even bra.
Not even
bra. I like that one. All right. Okay. All right. Again, at the end, we'll pick one to win, and then we hope the joke is as good as the punchline.
Tony in Whittier. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Thank you.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, but don't hit me so hard.
Okay, but don't hit me so hard.
Right. I love that Beans already laughing. Like,
I like that one a lot. Let's go to Jim, who is in Orange. Hi, Jim.
Hi. The swallow.
The swallow.
The swallow.
Okay. Hold on.
See, again, we're only going to hear one of these jokes, and it's going to be bugging me the whole rest of the day. Like, what were the others about?
Let's go to Shane in La Crescenta. Sorry. Hi, Shane.
Hey, guys. Good morning, party people.
Hi there.
So
good morning.
My punchline is for his panic attacks.
For his panic attacks. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And Leonard is in Ontario. Hi, Leonard.
Hi. Because the box said 2 to 4 years.
Because the box said two to four years. Okay.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Those are our choices? That's what we got?
Yep.
All right. So tooth hurty, not even bra, okay, but don't hit me so hard, the swallow, his panic attacks, it's because the box said 2 to 4 years. What do you guys think? Who do you like?
I like Tony, okay, but don't hit me so hard.
I like that one, too.
And yeah. I like because the box said 2 to 4 years.
I like both of those.
Let's go with Tony. I think okay, don't hit me so hard. I think that's my choice as well, you guys.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, Tony.
Tony, first of all, congratulations. We're going to give you the prize now, so even if the joke sucks, we can't take it away from you because you are the best punchline. So you're going to go to April Foolishness on Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine. Everybody, details at Carrick.com. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon through AXS.com. You don't want to miss the show. Proceeds benefiting the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. And don't forget, the $99 top ticket is in the That's My John section, and that's where you get the preferential parking backstage. You get the party with Kevin and Bean and the whole crew. You get the up-close seating. You get the T-shirt, but we do have cheap seats going all the way down to $25. So there's something for everybody.
Waiting on the joke, Bean.
All right, let's hear your joke, Tony.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Guy walks into a bar with a gorilla. Bartender says, "Hey, we don't serve gorillas." Guy says, "Whoa, he does a great trick. Let me show you." Guy pulls out a bat, whacks the gorilla over the head. Gorilla runs around the bar, runs back to the guy, pulls his pants down, performs oral sex on the guy. And the bartender says, "Wow, that is a great trick." The guy says to the bartender, "You want to give it a try?" The bartender says, "Okay, but don't hit me so hard.
So much better than yesterday.
Well done. I feel like we have been redeemed. Thanks for playing Punchline.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Jim Rome talks sports at 8 o'clock this morning, like we do on Thursdays. The great William Shatner on the program today. And, Ralph, you weren't in the meeting yesterday.
Yes, so you're right, sir.
You were not around to shoot down this idea, but we're going to try it again. We're going to talk to Donald Trump supporters next hour.
Woohoo!
Remember, Remember last time? Remember how frightening that was?
Yeah. That's not...
But he's gotten so much more popular since then, and there's so many more people on board the Trump train that we need to discuss.
Here's what I remember about that.
I remember, feel the hatred flowing through you.
That's what I'm going to say to all those people as they come on.
I remember after the show, we went into our meeting, and we said, let's never do that again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're doing it today.
So Punchline and Trump, today is backward day.
Yep. Well, yesterday, Punchline failed pretty miserably.
You went back to it again.
Well, yeah, you need to get back on the horse.
What I'm saying is, the definition of insanity, right? Is to repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
No, I'm not hearing you.
Yeah. But don't you think now, Ralph, months later, that now there are reasonable people with good reasons to support Mr. Trump?
No!
Well, we'll find out.
I'm with Ralph.
That is coming up. First time
feel
for the show.
The hate flow through you. Turn to the dark side.
Here at a Thursday morning, let's see what else is going on in the world of show business.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, just happened minutes ago. The Ghostbusters reboot trailer was released from Sony Pictures. Of course, reboot of the classic film Ghostbusters with an all-female cast. Paul Feig at the helm. And you got Melissa McCarthy, you got your Kristen Wiig, you got your Kate McKinnon, and your Leslie Jones as the new generation of Ghostbusters. Has anyone seen the trailer yet?
I've not.
I have.
What do you think?
Please enjoy.
Really?
Oh, have a good time.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
Maybe this is one of those
cases where they are saving the best material for the film. They don't want to burn through any funny stuff in the trailer. Maybe that's what I'm hoping for. I can tell you this much. There is an Exorcist joke. A very timely The Exorcist joke from The Exorcist film.
Okay.
There's someone gets hit and says, oh, that's going to leave a mark. That joke is making a comeback. Is making a return.
Okay.
There's a lot of slime, as you would expect. And it's hard to get rid of because that gets everywhere.
Sure.
That slime. Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're going for the easy jokes in the trailer, and then they're saving the stuff that'll surprise
us. All the really clever stuff.
Right.
The clever stuff is buried very deep in the film.
But look, knowing the director and seeing the stars involved, don't you have high hopes that it is good?
I did. Did you watch the trailer?
I have not seen it. No, I have not, sir.
All right, go watch the trailer and come back to me, and then we'll have a conversation.
All right.
I'm just saying I was dismayed and a little startled by the trailer.
Right.
I was like, okay. Really? I was expecting more, I guess. But it's too early to tell. It's just 2 minutes. 2 minutes of a film that could be twice as long. Who knows?
I'll check it out for you guys. I'll do that, yeah. I'll go to the movie and I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah, we got that by I'll check it out for you guys.
So you think you are our go-to
yes.
guy
uh-huh.
regarding
you can trust
the quality of films.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
Okay.
Somebody gets me.
Yeah.
So don't believe Ralph.
Look, and I'm just judging by the trailer. I just found the trailer lackluster.
Okay.
But again, it looks good. It could be plenty of stuff in there that we haven't seen yet that's going to be
But they're holding
high
it all back.
They're holding it back because they don't want to burn through the better jokes in the trailer.
Kevin, I'll also watch the trailer.
Okay.
Then we'll have a powwow. You want to have a powwow?
Let's have a powwow.
I want a good movie.
Here's some good news. Flight of the Conchords on tour. Musical and comedy duo from New Orleans has announced, New Zealand has announced their kickoff of their tour June 11th in Cleveland, Ohio. Jermaine and Brett getting together once again, which wraps up on July the 27th this summer at the Greek Theater here in Los Angeles. So if you are a Flight fan, you'll get to see him at the Greek. I'll be there.
Same, but why? It's been a while.
Yeah, they've been off
for a long time.
Doing other projects. They're living
separate
lives. Does
this mean they're going to maybe do another season or just the concert?
I know there has been talk of a Flight movie for some time.
All right.
So I'm assuming that might be in the offing. But for right now, we just get to see them playing their greatest hits live on stage.
All right.
Which is okay with me. Too much sausage on the dance floor.
We see you girls looking at our junk, then checking out our rumps, then back to our sugar lumps.
Or that one.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. George Miller, who did very well for himself at the Oscars this year. He was the director, of course, of the original Mad Max and its reboot, Mad Max Fury Road. 71 years old today. It's hard to believe that a man at 71 could have the stamina and the energy to film a movie of that scope.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, that looks like a tough slog.
A lot of time in the desert, and a lot of actual physical stunts versus CGI stuff, although they did use some CGI, but a lot of car stuff and wrecks and things, and it just seemed like that'd be a tough day at the office for a
Ralph,
man half
the,
his age.
You're the movie expert. I don't know, should another movie come to mind besides the Mad Max franchise for George Miller? Like, what was he doing in between all those years between Mad Max movies?
A little movie called Babe.
Oh, he was Babe.
He wasn't Babe. No, Babe was a pig.
Yeah,
he
made the Babe movie.
He was the director of that film.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Are you familiar with a little animated classic called Happy Feet? About the little dancing penguins.
I love everything he does.
George Miller is a man with a lot of range, as they would say, all different kinds of films.
Wow.
But he's
very impressive.
The Witches of Eastwick.
Witches of Eastwick. Very successful filmmaker in many different genres.
Well, good for him.
As they say in French Canada. As Luc Robitaille says, genre. That's right. I say genre before I take the slap shot, eh?
That's not how he sounds at all.
All the time. It's exactly
He's been
how
on the air many, many times.
A perfect, I don't say this about my impressions often, a perfect impression of Luc Robitaille.
Of somebody that's not Luc Robitaille.
The hockey skates are so sharp, you have to be careful or else you can get cut. Come on.
Nope.
It's uncanny. It's like he's in the room with us.
You've talked to him.
And he sounded just like that. He said,
"Oh,
I must tell you, Ralph, it is amazing how you sound like me so much with a hockey player from France."
Yeah, he never said that.
Julie Bowen's 46 years old today, and actress Jessica Biel celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just announced earlier this morning a new addition. No, not the new addition, Ralph, but a new addition to Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016. Our friend Jay Moore is now also part of the lineup for the show that goes on sale tomorrow at noon. Details at KROQ.com. And by the way, speaking of Jay, if you want to see him in a much smaller room than our show at the Shrine, you can see him at the Hollywood Improv. He'll be on stage there this Saturday night. Get your tickets at improv.com.
All right, Muggs is back in here. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, our job here on the Kevin and Bean Show is not to entertain, it's to educate. We've always felt that way.
Is that
way.
True?
Yes, always.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That way we don't feel like such failures when we're not entertaining.
Okay.
But we can be educational, and I think it's a resource we don't take advantage of nearly enough in the sense that we have a master of finance, a titan of industry on our staff, and we don't pick his brain on a regular basis to get the best financial tips for our listeners for a money-making, wealthy life.
Oh, I see Ralph, and I see Allie, and I see me, and I see Chip.
Yeah, and the master of finance.
And then there's Muggs.
Yes.
Muggs?
That's right. A guy who consistently has nothing but money-making schemes.
None of which make money.
None of which make money. From his professional betting, his sports gambling empire. Do you remember
100%?
That?
Right. Guaranteed.
I believe it was 98% he had on gambling.
Sure.
And then went somewhere, I don't know, like $5,000-$10,000 in the hole. At
yeah,
one
yeah, that's right.
And then his brainstorm to be an Uber driver, which was going to give him all the expendable income that he could spend.
Right.
Yes. He was bragging so hard about how he was going to be making it rain once he started Ubering after the show.
And
guys, I've got 20 hours a day. I can be out there making a good living.
He was so assured of success in that career. He went out and bought a second car.
Yep.
He couldn't afford the first car, but he bought a second one because that was going to be the money-making car.
Uh-huh.
So he started off being an Uber driver about 15 grand in the hole.
But at least he paid that right off with his Uber driver.
Well, that's what brings us to today's edition of Beer Mug, Master of Finance.
Beer Mug is the master of finance. He's so fat he can't button his pants. But he'll save you a dollar or two because he's one financial expert too.
What people have been waiting for.
When we last left off, Beer Mug was so upside down on his second car that he was trying to find someone to take over the payments. He wanted someone just to bail him out, just to throw him a life raft.
Let him walk away.
That's right.
And he was like searching
for apps. He was doing it poorly.
Yeah,
I found an app. It's Whack-A-Lone. This will introduce me to a guy, and then they'll take over the loan, and then the guy will take the loan over from them. He had no idea how any of this worked.
Or why there would be any advantage for the other guy.
Right. It was a cataclysmic failure financially.
But Muggs has the confidence of the Armenian comedian. I mean, he really believes...
And, more importantly, the wisdom of the Armenian comedian.
Exactly.
And so Beer Mug has come to a conclusion. I think he has come to grips with this dire financial situation. And I think he's found an upside. I think he's got a way to turn it all around.
Okay. This is great.
A lot of people struggle. Let us know what's up with your automotive situation as the owner of two cars, one that sits in your driveway.
Well, my current situation stands as this. Well, after a long search of trying to find somebody to take over the payments of my second car.
Right, your Uber car.
No. My main car.
Oh, your...
Because I was going to
That's the first car. It's not the second car.
Let's call
it Uber car and original
okay,
car.
Uber car and original. I was trying to find somebody to take over the payments of original car.
You're
because
gonna
I
keep Uber car.
Because to keep Uber car. Okay. To keep Ubering. Well,
which you don't do.
You don't Uber.
Well, I was going to if I had the Uber car.
You have it.
And you don't.
Okay, so
you have the Uber car.
You have two cars,
yes.
And you Uber not.
You could be double Ubering.
If you cut your car number by half, why do you think that's going to increase your Ubering number?
Well, if I cut my car number in half, not only would that put money back in my pocket for not sitting in my driveway, then I would be so motivated to go Uber and make more. Right?
I don't think you understand motivation.
You also don't understand what your car is going to, selling one of your cars is going to do for you, because it's not going to put cash in your pocket.
Yeah, because you're still upside down. You realize that.
You know what upside down is?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I found somebody to get close to the amount it was worth or
then
what I owed.
You would get nothing in your pocket.
Right. You'd break even at best.
Well, sure. But the next couple months after that, I wouldn't have to pay for that car. So technically that's money back in
all
my
right.
pocket.
Let's Warren Buffett, let's move on past that. So what's the new plan?
I'm good with that.
So you've been looking for someone to take over the payments on your original car. That did not go well. What's the update?
Well, the update was I was going to be $7,000 upside down on original car.
Right.
On Uber car.
You're selling Uber car? You got that car to drive Uber.
Uber car has been sold.
You sold the more energy efficient, newer, and better car. You sold that one.
Well, guys, you got
to understand. The one that gets great gas mileage.
Yeah.
And you bought it for that reason to Uber.
The only one you can Uber with, because the other one gets such a gas guzzler you couldn't afford to Uber with.
Right.
So and you sold the good car.
I broke it down like this, you guys.
Oh, my God.
$7,000 upside down with original car.
Right.
Or $1,000 upside down with Uber car.
Okay, so you could get more money, but you're still upside down on either car.
And now you can't Uber, so you've got no way to make it back.
Precisely.
Why do you say precisely as if that was your plan? Put yourself in a hole that you now can't get out of because you don't have an extra money-making opportunity.
Now you can't pay off original car's $7,000 debt because you've done away with the thing you could use to make money.
But at least I'm driving original car and it's not just sitting in a driveway.
Right, but it gets terrible gas mileage and is a POS.
And you can't Uber with it.
What about the Uber? That was your hole. That's why you got second car.
So what are you going to do? What's your plan now for extra money?
I might do Uber Eats, which
you couldn't do that. You think you're going to drive food to someone's house and deliver it and not eat it?
You alone in a car with food? You think that's safe?
If I put it in the trunk.
A pedophile kindergarten teacher instead.
Those kids would
be safer than the food will be in your car.
I couldn't have... Look, you guys know how little I was Uber driving.
Right.
That was our first complaint,
is if you need to Uber drive, Uber drive.
Yes, when you stopped and broke down your situation, why wasn't the answer, I need to start Ubering more, which was the original plan? That was a good plan, Muggs.
So
that
why
was
not
a good
sell
idea
off
if you
original car, take
yes.
a little bit of a beating there, but still make money with the other car. You have a chance to be in the positive.
And at least get out of debt.
That $7,000 negative equity was just too much for me to bear. I just didn't want to look at it.
But you were bearing it. Every day you were bearing it.
I know, but I'd
rather... And by the way, still bearing it because you still have that car.
I know, but at least it's being put to use.
Muggs, let me ask you this question, and I'm being very serious here. I'm being very serious here, Muggs. Do you expect to be alive a year from now?
No, I don't.
That's a great question.
No, I'm serious, because if you do, then you could have made back and been in the black by then if you had just Ubered consistently. You could have made that $7,000, been completely out of debt, and be putting money in the bank a year from now if you just committed to it.
The problem is in the long run, I couldn't come up with the $7,000 right away. There's no way I don't have $7,000 to my name.
Right.
So that would just continue to sit and sit. And
no, you still owe that money. You realize, right? You still owe that money. It hasn't changed.
Yeah, but I just rather get rid of. I just rather consolidate down to one vehicle, and that's
right. So why didn't you consolidate down to the vehicle you could earn with?
Because that was less negative equity.
Right, oh, but God. What sense does that make? It doesn't matter.
You understand, if you Uber and you do it regularly, you pay that off over time and it's gone.
Right, that's... get rid of Uber car, but keep the still upside down $7,000 car. You're not even paying that off, and you're still $7,000 upside down.
I couldn't wait.
For what? for good judgment to strike you?
To save up to pay that $7,000.
You still owe that $7,000.
So you are going to wait to pay it off because it still needs to be paid off.
Yeah, but at least I'm using...
You kept the car that you're super upside down.
I know. At least I'm using it, though.
But it doesn't...
You see what I'm saying?
But that has nothing to do with your financial situation. Whether you use it or not,
but
what much money do you owe?
I got rid of the Uber car. I owe $18,000 on it. I got rid of the Uber car, and that alone freed up that money. So...
But it's not free because you have a giant chasm of debt.
Yeah, but instead of putting money, making payments on the Uber car, I now have that money allocated to make payments on the bad car,
okay.
On the original car.
Let me ask the qualifying question.
Yeah.
Are you going to Uber? That was your original plan.
Right.
It involves you making money and digging yourself out of the hole.
Let's tie this story all together with this answer.
Did that occur to you that maybe you should Uber?
With the Uber car or my original car?
I don't care.
A car.
Uber, yes or no?
Look, I could Uber with the original car, but it's a gas-guzzling engine.
Right.
So,
Bugs, I got it because we're out of time, but I do have the answer. You need to buy another car.
No, good point. Start fresh. Buy
That's
a
what
new
I was
Uber
thinking.
Car.
That's what I was thinking.
Excellent.
Going into
gold. Beer mug master of the finance. Beer mug master of the finance.
Updates.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome, plus William Shatner joins us next hour. That is coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. I hate to keep asking, Kevin, but I have my memory is getting so bad. You do or do not watch the news?
In general, mm-hmm. I don't watch the news.
And how come?
Because I'm a kid.
Because you're a kid. That's
right. I watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. I forgot about that. You are missing out, my friend, on history being made every day right now because of the presidential election of 2016. This is something that there are going to be books written about. There are going to be movies written about. It's going to be studied by political science students for the next 200 years.
I hope all of them have fun.
I'm telling you,
sounds terrible.
There are times where you recognize something is happening on the news, and this is a big day, and this is going to be remembered forever. You know, a September 11th comes along, and you go, well, that changes everything, and in 100 years, people will still know September 11th. I'm telling you, that's what this presidential election is like in terms of the changes that it is making in the American political system. We are rebooting the Republican Party right now in front of our eyes. And it's fascinating. And here's why I wanted to talk to Donald Trump supporters right now. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I would be so offended right now if I were a Donald Trump supporter and every day I turn on the TV and I see the people who run my party talking about how they don't want that candidate to be the nominee for president in 2016. The Republican voters are speaking very loud that Donald Trump is their preference. Yet the party leaders are saying, we don't want him to run for president. We're trying to figure out a way to stop him from doing that. Isn't that disconnect unbelievable? Isn't it supposed to be a representative democracy where the people that are going to be voting for you at the convention are the ones who are supposed to be transferring your vote? And instead, they're saying, hey, we don't want to do what you want and put Donald Trump up. We want to find another candidate that we like better.
Democracy is hard, you guys.
It is hard.
Here's my question. Here's my question.
Yes.
We did this topic before, and mm-hmm. we said, hey, you know what we shouldn't talk about? Politics.
Right.
And God. That's it. You're not going to make any progress with anyone on anything.
I'm not trying to convince anybody to vote for or against Donald Trump or any other candidate. This isn't about who I'm voting for or you're voting for. This is about what's going on in the big picture right now. And the thing about Donald Trump that is frustrating so many people, I think we have the clip of Ted Koppel along with Bill O'Reilly on Fox News this week, is that Donald Trump has managed to come up with a campaign where he doesn't have to detail anything that he's going to do. Mm-mm. And people are so in love with his personality and so enamored by the fact that he's an outsider that they're not holding him accountable for any kind of details of what he wants to do. Listen to what Ted Koppel bring that up on the O'Reilly Factors.
I've seen any number of your colleagues and mine ask him very pointed questions and do it in a perfectly professional and reasonable fashion. He just ignores the questions. When is the last time you have heard Donald Trump spell out a real policy on anything other than we're going to be the best, we're going to be the greatest, I'm going to negotiate the best deals you've ever seen? There is no substance in any of that, and nobody among his followers seems to care about that.
All right, you hear that opinion 24/7 if you turn on cable news right now. But if you're Donald Trump...
That is why I don't turn on cable news right now. Back to you.
If you're a Donald Trump supporter, though, you have your reasons why you're planning on voting for them. Look, not everybody who's supporting Donald Trump is a stupid person. There are reasons why they are choosing to vote for Donald Trump. And the media refuses to accept that they have legitimate reasons. And the leaders of their own party refuse to accept that they have legitimate reasons. I think it's time for Donald Trump supporters to come out of the woods and explain to everybody else what it is that they're missing about why Donald Trump would be a good president. That's what I'm interested in hearing about.
And can I put some ground rules on it? Because this is going to blow. You can't.
Why do you think this is going to
blow? Because it's politics. Who gives a crap?
This is important stuff.
I don't care.
Who
the
gives
future of America,
this
Kevin.
Person is going to be the president of the United States. No, whoever wins, though, this election is important. Whoever wins is going to be the president of the United States. Less than a year from now, somebody new is going to be sitting in the Oval Office. How can you not be interested in who that person is and
it's
why?
It's still over half a year away. I got nothing but time. People don't wake up until October. And then they come out and they vote. They're basing all this on polls.
I wish I lived in your head.
Seriously, you should.
You should be thinking about this. This is important.
Sit down.
You sit down.
I want to hear from Donald Trump supporters. What is the media and your party leaders missing? Call us now at 1-800-520-1067. Why is Donald Trump? Tell us in your own words why you support him and why you think is the best man for the job. Now, let's hear your ground rules, Kevin.
I've got a ground rule.
You can't quote Trump verbatim.
You
don't
cannot
do that.
Say, because he's going to make America great again.
Right.
Because we don't know how he's going to make America great. Tell us how. Tell us the steps, his policies that I seem to be missing, because I have not heard actual policies that he's going to put in place other than, I'm going to move jobs back to America. How? How are you going to do that?
Because he's got the best words, Allie. That's why.
Right, right.
And you got the best words. People will do what you want.
Okay.
Next question.
I always vote for comedy. And I feel like my ground has been taken away from me because it seems like a lot of other people are voting for the candidate that I would vote for because of comedy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what to do with myself.
Right. They're getting into your area.
Right.
You're not used to having all this company here voting for comedy.
If you're on my side, you're bad.
Well, can you write in Vermin Supreme, the guy who wants a free pony for every American? Maybe that's the direction you have to go.
Yes.
All right, Donald Trump supporters, this is your chance to tell the world what it is that they don't understand about your candidate. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
I feel like this is a Band-Aid. Like we need to rip it off quick and be done in like 30 seconds.
You are looking forward to this.
Who's with me?
Now, Kevin, is this your way of saying you don't think there are Donald Trump supporters who have reasons why they want to vote for him? That makes sense?
Anytime anybody talks about politics, A, it's dull. B,
but
there's a lot of lies. Let me finish. And C,
okay.
Everybody hates everybody else who disagrees with them.
Yeah.
And that's absurd.
It gets heated.
It's just ridiculous. And
I hate it. I don't hate other people, by the way, who vote
I don't hate other people.
I'm not a partisan person. I vote for equal amounts of Republicans and Democrats. I vote for the person and how smart I think they are, whether they have good ideas or not, and I think that's fine.
Right. I wasn't saying anything about that. I'm saying the conversation about politics is always just impossible to listen to.
All right. Well, let's find out. We asked for Donald Trump supporters to give us a call here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. My premise was, if I were a Trump supporter right now, I would be so offended to see all of these news reports about how many leaders of my party right now are trying to figure out a way to engineer a convention surprise, to figure out some way to have somebody other than Donald Trump be the nominee for president, because that terrifies so many people within the party, because he's from outside the party, because he's not an insider. And I assume that's a lot of what his appeal is, but we thought, let's hear from actual Trump voters, people who plan on pulling the lever for Mr. Trump. Let's find out what it is that those people are missing about why you're voting for him. Why don't we start with, let's start with Hector. He's in Pico Rivera. He's up first. He's on line two. We'll just take a couple of calls. This won't take long. We got a lot of other stuff coming up after this.
Good morning, Ali. Listen, okay, I'm going to start off by saying that I know that the president doesn't affect my day-to-day living and most of Americans' day-to-day living, but I love Donald Trump because he's not one of those canned PC politicians who's afraid to offend me. He's going to be bluntly honest and say whatever off-the-cuff answer to not please everybody, because he can't please everybody. The fact that he says Rosie O'Donnell's a pig does not make him a sexist. The fact that he wants to keep Muslims away after a terrorist attack, maybe it's a little bit extreme, but it's a way to kind of let's put a pause on everything that's happening right here and assess the situation before we just keep letting people in who, yes, it is stereotyping, but...
Okay, let me stop you right there, Hector, because we don't want to get too far into the weeds of specific policy points.
Look, Sit down.
You like him because you think he says what's on his mind and he doesn't care who he offends. Now, that may be attractive to you during a political campaign. How do you think that plays in the White House, where the words that you say literally make the difference between countries going to war or not? Don't you want somebody – I'm just asking if you maybe want somebody who does kind of think before he speaks a little bit.
Well, being America, we are the world police, and we are always the one looked for, and we are always the first to go help another country when they're needed. But yet, those same countries
– Your Honor, he's not responding to the question. I object.
Those same countries don't give us the same respect that I think we deserve, because we're the first ones there, and we are the world police.
Okay, so we're going to move on, Hector. But you think the rest
Stop
of the world would look
asking him questions
would look more favorably on America if they had Donald Trump in the Oval Office?
Well, I mean,
all right, thank you for that. See, you said we were going to move quickly.
Okay, all right. You control the board. Where do you want to go?
Chip, give me 30 seconds. I don't care where we're going. I just don't want to go to any of them.
I'd like to go to Mike because I want to hear what his policies are.
All right. Mike in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hey, my name is Mike. I'm from Mission Viejo.
Right.
I think Donald Trump has absolute policies. If you look at when he talks about health care, he wants to get rid of Obama health care, right? Mm-hmm. His policy is I'm going to remove the borders, which brings in competition. That's simple business, right? The problem when we can't go outside of our state to gain health care – That's when one company can have it completely centered, and they can raise their rates as much as they want.
Okay, so that specific issue is what you care the most
but
about.
Also, Cruz and Rubio want to get rid of.
How about the wall? How about building the wall? That's another policy. When he says I'm going to get Mexico to pay for it, he made it clear. He said our deficit is $65 billion, right?
How do you get Mexico to pay for it, Mike? How do they pay for it? They already said they are not going to pay for it.
But they do say they're not going to at this point in time. When we stop sending them money, stop with the trade deficit, they're going to be forced to say, we'll lose the $2 billion to build the wall because we need the $65 million they're sending down here.
Okay, Mike, but Rubio and Cruz also want to repeal Obamacare. So,
Sorry.
Oh, out of time.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, I think another Kevin who writes in has the answer to make you be excited about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Four words, Vice President Gary Busey. How about that?
Now I'm 100% in.
Okay, we can be done.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
I don't want him being all straight. How dare he not be in the closet, out of the closet?
What?
What?
Right?
That was a moment with Ralph.
I'll have you know, if you're familiar with the show Nashville,
yeah,
he was in the closet, then out of the closet.
He was.
That's all I'm saying. So it's not so much
you
a moment with as it is exactly what happened on the show. That's all. So, yeah. So there. You're right. Oh, bad on me, I guess, for being completely accurate.
Hey, Jim Rome.
I protest.
is a person who used to have a radio show on the air in this town, but doesn't anymore, apparently. But we'll still talk to him coming up just after 8 this morning, all about sports. Then William Shatner next hour as well. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
You're a ray of sunshine. You're the bringer of good news. I always call being the bringer of good news.
Well, they pulled the plug on the Beast.
He's the Pony Express of joy, as he's known around the industry. William Shatner was a guy who used to have a series, several series that are all canceled now.
Here's what I do after every Kevin and Bean show. I go home, I make a list during the show, and then I go home and I contact all of those people. I go, look, that's just Bean being mean.
Your apology list is getting lengthy.
Look. It's a full-time job.
Am I wrong, or is Jim Rome's show no longer on the air?
Right. I don't know if that's what you lead with, though, in the tease for the man.
I'm saying how grateful I am and how happy I am that we still get the opportunity to speak with him.
Not even close.
A little bit.
It wasn't even perfectly fine, what you said.
Nope.
Asshole.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Show enough. You know what?
What, Ralph?
Dave Grohl.
Right?
Should become an adjective for awesome.
Is he your John?
I finally met that guy the other day, and he is just so Dave Grohl.
You met Dave Grohl?
No, but if you use that as an adjective
for awesome.
Oh, I see
what you're saying. That's the best kind of person.
Am I even talking? Am I even speaking out loud?
I don't know. You have me confused at the moment with.
I went to that new Italian restaurant, and their linguine is Dave Grohl. So I'm saying you could use it as an adjective.
I like it.
Everyone's talking, of course, about the giant prank that Dave and the Foos played on the world after all the bogus speculation in the media that because Dave did a few solo appearances on some award shows, that the Foos were breaking up, Dave was going solo. And then the setup began. Sweet, sweet-ass setup. Just a 48-hour notice that in 24 hours there's going to be a major announcement, and everybody got on pins and needles, and they tuned in. And then on the Foo Fighters YouTube channel, they dropped this amazing video, which is a spoof of Grohl going his own way, and the other guy's looking for a new lead singer. It's just spectacular. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And yeah, you too. We'll think Dave Grohl should be an adjective for
Dave Grohl is in U2?
Oh, man. Hey, WrestleMania 32 tonight. Everybody excited? Who's having the party? Whose house are we watching at?
I don't do the WrestleMania.
Oh, Kevin.
Don't do that.
Triple H versus Roman Reigns? What's wrong with you? It's for the championship.
I think they're trying to make Roman Reigns a thing.
Right?
He's just not a thing.
Oh, he's such a thing.
He's hot.
Right?
Right?
He's not a thing.
Then you got The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon in the Hell in a Cell match.
Come on.
All right, I like that.
That name alone should get you to tune in. And then Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar in the No Holds Barred match.
I'm still sad about Daniel Bryan.
Right?
He's with me.
Aren't we all?
Yes.
What the hell?
Apparently, Dwayne Johnson's going to drop by.
What does he know about wrestling?
He used to be the Rock and very popular WWE wrestler. So I know there are people out there who still follow, so I want to give you all a shout-out, because some people are very excited about WrestleMania 32.
It is a reality show that has survived for decades now.
I think that's Survivor.
Oh, sorry. I hear Survive. I go right to the didgeridoo.
Yeah, you do.
Anybody watching besides me this season?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's spectacular.
Who's your team? Who are you rooting for? The beauty, the brains, or the brawn?
Boy, it's a hard call. I do tell you my new favorite person in the world is the tiny little Japanese gardener gentleman who is on the beauty tribe, inexplicably, I might add. Who believes that all living things have the right to peacefully coexist. And just every time they try to do anything, he's just a major speed bump. No, don't kill the chicken. The chicken has a right to live. We're starving! He's the best. Quick celebrity birthday recap. I'm out of time. George Miller is 71 years old today. He, of course, the legendary director behind the Mad Max franchise, both old and new, as well as some other terrific films, 71. Julie Bowen, who is... Well, just one of an incredibly talented cast over there in Modern Family. I've said this before. I think we're just all just spoiled by how good that show is on a weekly basis. When you watch the writing and performances in that show, it is sharp as a knife.
Except Stone Street, right?
Oh, so come on.
How dare you?
Right? Why do you got to come at Stony
is a
that way?
Treasure.
Just saying.
Eric, if you're listening, we apologize. You're on the list. Kevin will be sending you a fruit basket after the show.
Man,
everybody gets an apology fruit basket.
Can you believe 7 seasons?
And it's just as good now as it was the first season. That's why I said I think we're just spoiled because it's consistently excellent.
You can rely on it.
You can.
So I've heard.
That's on that reliable network. 46 years old today is Julie Bowen and Jessica Biel. She is 34. What's she up to? Anybody know? Anybody seen her lately?
She had a baby.
Just having babies. Yeah.
Looking great.
A little less baby and a little more movie-in, Jessica. Put her in her place, didn't I?
Sure did.
I'm Ralph Garner, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:08.
This time every week, we talk to our good friend Jim Rome at jimrome.com. No longer available on AM 980 The Beast. Mr. Rome, what happened, man? You burned the place to the ground? What happened to your radio station?
Wait, what?
They pulled the plug on you?
Me and everybody else there. And you know, I can laugh about it, but actually on a serious note, the people who work there, I'm sad for. But this is the business. Somebody bought the station. They flipped the format and see ya. Hit the bricks.
Look, beat it. Bollywood music is very popular, Jim. Come on.
It must be. It must be because I'm not there and it is.
Well, so I am happy to spread the word that we do live in the golden age of media in that just because you can't technically hear Jim on an AM radio station right now doesn't mean Jim has to be out of your life. What are some of the ways people can still hear the Jim Rome Show every day?
You know, you can go to jimrome.com and you can stream it. CBS also has a way to stream the program. There's a radio station in San Diego with a monster signal, 1090 AM. So if you're in L.A. and you were listening on the other station before, check out 1090. Just because it's not on that station doesn't mean that you cannot still get it.
There you go.
Right. Jim does not cease to exist.
That's right. The show still goes on.
Exactly, Allie. Well said.
All right. Let's talk about some sports. I hate to see it because the Clippers have worked so hard in recent years to get up to a level of respectability where they're not the laughingstock of the NBA. But they took it on in the shorts this week when they rolled out their new mascot. Your thoughts, Jim, on the new Condor mascot, Chuck?
Love the Clippers. Do not dig the new mascot, Chuck. Chuck the Condor. In case you missed it, he dropped out of the rafters looking like Toucan Sam rocking X Games gear and Chuck Taylor's. One of the Clippers, Jamal Crawford, said, quote, "I hope my daughter's not scared." Trust me, she was.
Oh,
I know I was.
Lord.
Guys, two kinds of people make me feel very uncomfortable. People who dress up like mascots and people who like mascots.
Yeah, agreed.
Chuck is nightmare fuel. Why would you do this?
Oh. Nightmare fuel.
But do you think kids, like they're trying to appeal to families, like kids would be
what part
into
of nightmare
it?
For kids don't you understand?
I don't know. I think
one
maybe
of their own players said, my child is going to be afraid of it. You know what's the worst part? Guys, they have a mascot. They already had a mascot. It's their boss. It's Steve Ballmer. He's animated. He's energetic. He's lovable. He's a little nutty. That's mascot 101.
That's true. Yep. That's true.
They
right.
have a mascot.
And Doc Rivers, you know, who's so good at dealing with the media, he tried to be diplomatic about it by saying, no, it makes a lot of sense because people thought the condor was extinct and now it's coming back strong in California just like the Clippers. I mean, he's trying to rationalize why this mascot makes sense.
Believe me, he is one of the brightest guys I know. There's no way he believes what's flying out of his pie hole right now. There's no way he believes that. Staples is not about condors. It's about cougars. What a bad idea.
Will we get used to Chuck the Condor and we won't even notice it in 6 months like he says?
If you do, I'm never coming on this show again.
Okay. All right.
None of my friends like mascots. Come on, man. Really? There's so much to like about that team. Man. Well, you're going to drop Chuck into that building?
I feel
bad
like they
idea.
Just keep making mistake after
really
mistake, and they can't help themselves.
Well, it was like that for a long time. I mean, that was the one place you did not want to end up. Then all of a sudden that changed. They start to get the right players. They have the right coach. They've got the right owner. I thought they were beyond something like this, but apparently they're not.
All right. Speaking of the NBA, since the last time we had you on, Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors continues to be the best show in town. There's been a lot of talk, including some controversy since we last spoke with you, Jim, with NBA great Oscar Robertson coming on and basically saying, back in my day, we would have been able to figure out a way to defend this guy. What's he talking about?
have no idea. Bitter much, Oscar? These guys, Steph Curry is the best player in the world. He was the MVP last year. He's better now than he was then. The guy nearly broke Twitter the other night, and it wasn't just the fans who were jumping off their couches. It was other players, guys who were under the age of 80. You know, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Dirk. You never see guys hype another guy like that the way they did. So Oscar's always been... How do I put this? He's kind of a tough nut to crack. He was a great, great player. And far be it from me to tell him anything about basketball, but this guy's so out of line. Steph Curry would dominate in his era, this era, or any other era. The guy's a freak. These old guys got to step down and just accept that they were born 50 years too early.
What about the talk of moving the three-point line?
Yeah, again,
That seems silly to me. Just because,
yeah, you can change the rules because that guy's that good.
Right.
I mean, and by the way, you're not going to help anybody by doing that because you look at the Splash Brothers, you look at Steph, you look at Klay Thompson. What do they care? You move that thing back 7 inches or 7 feet, they're knocking down shots the second they cross the half-court line. All it's going to do is hurt everybody else who's already looking up at them. So I would not mess with that. That's not broken.
Yeah, I don't think that's serious talk either, but when guys like Mark Cuban get in the conversation and say it's worth thinking about, it makes you wonder what's going on. But, I mean, that shot the other night, the one that we've all seen a million times with Stephen Curry against, I think it was Oklahoma City, was that like at almost 40 feet or something? I mean, it was crazy.
Hey, listen, I love Mark Cuban, but let's be real. He's got one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA. I mean, that shot, that's the thing that's so amazing about Steph, guys. You look at him, like, I look at LeBron, and he's 6'9", and built like a tank. I looked at Jordan, and he was 6'6", and he could jump out of the gym. Steph's like 6'3", 190. You look like at him, and he looks like a guy, just another guy, but he's an assassin. That shot you're talking about was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Literally, this guy's 1 foot out of his car and jacking shots from the parking lot, and they're nothing but net.
And
everybody knows it.
A game winner. It's
a
crazy.
A game winner, and not a game winner against some weak, you know, lame team in the middle of the week. A primetime on TV in OKC's house. We're waiting on you, game winner.
And by the way, let's just mention before we move on, 6.5 weeks to go left in the season, and the Golden State Warriors already clinched a playoff spot. I mean, it's obvious they are better than they were last year when they won it all.
No, they were. And, like, they're better, and they're one of the best teams I've ever seen. And one of the worst takes I've ever heard is, it's boring, it's bad for the NBA, why should we even watch? We don't need this. Man, I hate that take. That's like this week's hot take. Why play the game? Nobody's got a chance. They play the game because they're entertaining as hell. They're having fun. They're likable. And they're looking to make history. It's all good.
Look, I'm a Lakers fan, and I love watching how unbelievably fantastic they are. And I hope the Lakers get back to that point, but they're fun to watch.
That's the whole point. Yeah. I mean, that's why people need to hate on something, but find something better to hate on than this, because these guys represent everything good about the NBA right now.
All right, in our final minute with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show, big, big weekend in Las Vegas. MGM Grand is UFC 196. Not even to get into the Holly Holm fight, but what about Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz? Your thoughts, Jim?
Literally, this guy is my favorite athlete right now, and I don't play favorites, but he is my favorite athlete in any sport. One of my favorite athletes ever. I think the guy's fascinating because I've never seen a dude with his rap. It's incredible. Like Muhammad Ali good.
Yeah.
He destroys guys mentally before they even get into the cage. And then he goes out and he backs it up every single time. And the bigger the stage, the better he fights. And he's so polarizing. Either you love him or you hate him. But I've got no problem saying I love this guy. I love his story. He was an apprentice plumber in Ireland who busted his ass for years and deserves everything he has right now. And he told me yesterday he's going to win that fight in one round. And if he says it, I believe it to be true. This guy is incredible.
A lot of experts think it's going to go more than one round. This is going to be a tough fight for him, and partly because he had to gain so much weight. How tough is it in the UFC to go up not one but two weight classes in performance and peak ability?
It is really, really weird. I mean, he's going from 145 to 170 in a single fight. I've never heard of anything like that. But when I asked him about that, you know, he made it seem like the most normal thing ever, that he's eating a lot, but he's eating the right things. I think, by the way, he was having so much trouble making weight down there lower. This is going to be better for him. And he says he walks around at like a buck 70. I need to see it to believe it. And Diaz is a pretty tough character, but I have a hard time seeing this go any other way than what Conor calls. I mean, literally, he delivers on everything he says. So if he says first round knockout, I'm expecting it.
All right, can't wait. That's Saturday night, by the way. Main card on pay-per-view starts at 7 o'clock at the MGM Grand. JimRome.com is where you want to go. There's no reason for you to be without 3 hours of Jim Rome Sports Talk. Always a pleasure. Sure, we'll do it again next week.
Dudes, next week. See ya.
Thank you, man.
It is no secret that our next guest is one of our all-time favorites. He is a philanthropist, an actor, a producer, a singer, spokesperson, comedian, and a hell of an author, our friend William Shatner. Back on the phone, his new book is called Leonard, My 50-Year Friendship with a Remarkable Man. Hey, Bill, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Sounds like you're in the car. Are you driving or do you have a driver?
No. What do you mean, a driver? I'm the driver.
You're fancy Hollywood guy. You're Bill Shatner.
Yeah, but us Hollywood guys drive ourselves. We're driven. That's why we're in Hollywood. We're driven.
All right. Hey, Bill, how many books have you written at this point? I was thinking about this last night because we've had you on so many times over the year with another new book. I think you're writing them faster than I can read them.
Well, you're a slow reader because I take pop. I got another one coming out in October, but that's another subject for another day. Leonard, my friendship with a remarkable man, Leonard Nimoy, is about friendship and about bonding, and it's about how difficult it is for men to make friends and why that may be, and the necessity, the seriousness of cultivating a friend and keeping it alive, and then this wonderful guy that passed last year and what he meant to me.
Bill, I thought it was sort of shocking that you admitted early in the book that you never had a best friend until him.
Aww. Well, you know what? When you define a friend, that idyllic relationship that brothers are supposed to have, and many brothers don't have it, but I saw it when I did this motorcycle ride from Chicago to Los Angeles this past summer. I saw it in two sets of brothers, and I thought that's the ideal relationship two guys want to have, where there's such a bonding that nothing. Somebody said once, a friend is somebody that you know everything about and still love them.
Right.
And that, I think, is a perfect definition of what a best friend is. No, I never had it until I had met Leonard.
Now, you also mentioned that you, for every acting gig, you sort of go through the same process, which is you become friends, say James Spader, for example, with Boston Legal, and you say you're going to stay in contact, and then it's no malice toward anybody, but you just don't. Why was Leonard different?
Well, it's just that it's as though two of you had grown up, and then you go to separate countries. There's a perfect example of James Spader. I love James. And I believe James loves me. We had the best thing going for 5 years, best friends forever. And we left that show, Boston Legal, 5 years ago. And essentially, I've wished him happy birthday because I've got it on my calendar. But I essentially haven't talked to him in 5 years. And yet we were inseparable. I mean, I really love the guy. But we haven't spoken because our destinies have taken us in separate directions.
This is the voice of our friend William Shatner here on the Kevin Amin Show. We're talking about his book, just released last month, available everywhere, about his 50-year-plus friendship with Leonard Nimoy, his co-star from Star Trek. What is it that you knew him so well, Bill? What is it that most fans of Leonard Nimoy don't know about him as a person?
Well, I don't know what they don't know, but what was most surprising to me that I thought about over the years and that came back to me in echoes when I was writing the book, was his sense of humor, how he made me laugh. The reason we were friends at this usual event of having a show that brought us together and then everybody goes off to different shows is that we had the same show for all those years. This is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. And in all those years, we had conventions that we did together. We had movies that we did together. We had publicity that we did together. We were thrown into each other's company in such a manner that I don't believe any other cast had ever been, by the dint of the fact that Star Trek has lasted all these years. So here was this friendship founded on mutual work and mutual desire and a battle against the elements, if you will, together. But then, thrown into each other's company, we made each other laugh. and we would be on stage together, doubled up with hysterics, and the audience going along with us. And you could see, as many, many people over the years came to tell us, that they could see this bond between us, which they recognized as great friends. And in us making each other laugh, we were able to make the audience laugh.
That's great. All right, my last question is, we heard so much about Leonard Nimoy running into problems after Star Trek. He wrote the book, I Am Not Spock, and he felt it sometimes like he was being typecast from other work. And that's a very common problem that a lot of people have when they're on such a hit show. Is that something you guys talked about a lot, and how did he work through it?
Well, he wrote a book called I Am Not Spock, but I think what he really meant was, I'm not just Spock. I'm all these other things. And in my research on him, as I wrote the book, I was astounded at things I didn't know. The poetry things that he had written, the amount of photography, the depth to which his photographic interest was, the shows, the plays that he was in. He was such a well-rounded actor. I mean, he's the only actor I've ever heard of doing To Be or Not to Be in Yiddish. And it sounded great. It sounded better than most people doing it in English, and I've never heard that before.
Wow.
So
well, I'm
sure there were a great many surprises about Leonard that I myself discovered and that you'll find in the book.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading the rest of it. Again, the book is called Leonard, My 50-Year Friendship with a Remarkable Man, and I'm sure it was cathartic to write this, Bill, and
it was moving. And I also want to remember to invite you to June 4th to the Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show taking place on June 4th, sponsored by Wells Fargo.
Yes, we definitely will put that information up at KROQ.com. I got your postcard in the mail this week, Bill, so I knew that summer was fast approaching. When I hear from Bill Shatner, I know the show is just around the corner.
That's right. It's an annual event.
All right. Well, listen, my pleasure, as always, to have you on the show, Bill. We love you. Thanks for the time on KROQ.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. What? Now I'm pre-sad that William Shatner is going to die one day. I'm gonna be
What's wrong with you?
No, I mean, you talk to a guy
like
that.
Yeah, we just talked to William Shatner. He's a great guy. He wrote a book. So what?
I know.
Why do you have to make everything
he's
bad?
He's 84, and it's great that he's alive and is still
he's
so creative and doing
you.
So much. I hope he does. I don't ever want to live in a world where there's no Bill Shatner. I'm just saying, it just makes me, when I talk to him, it makes me realize that he's 84 and... You know,
And what? He's got more energy than all of us combined.
I just am nervous and I don't
You're
like it.
You're a
That's
dick.
All I'm pre-sad.
Stop being
That's
a dick.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what
all
I'm
right.
saying.
New topic. Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Good morning.
Welcome in. Dave puts together the Internet Roundup videos for us every week at KROQ.com or KevinDeveen.com. Hit it, Steve.
It's the Internet Roundup.
All right, you guys, tell me if I'm wrong. The funniest new show in 2016 is Not Safe with Nikki Glaser on
yes.
Comedy Central.
Love it.
Allie, you with me on that?
It's very funny.
You are correct.
It is so good, and we love Nikki. We just had her on the show last week. It's on Comedy Central. You got to check it out. She did a video along with Sarah Schaefer, another comedian. They used to have an MTV show together, and it's a parody of the Jerry Seinfeld web series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. This one has a little different title and a little different premise, and I think you'll enjoy it very much.
I'm Nikki Glaser, and this is Comedians Sitting on Vibrators Getting Coffee.
This is the best coffee I've ever had.
Yeah, me too. This is really great.
We should do this more often. The Andre joint.
That is all we can play from that video. The rest of it is not safe for the airwaves, but it is. You'll never see girls enjoying getting coffee more often, more than that. That
Theon
one right there.
Greyjoy was their safe word to make us not.
Allie, your thoughts on Spotlight, The Horrible Truth About Boston, the new movie.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but this is a parody of the Spotlight movie that just won the Academy Award for Best Picture about the journalists who uncovered the sex abuse scandal, and they've decided that there's another problem that's even bigger than that they have to investigate.
Every day, innocent people believe the lie that Boston is a charming American city. We got to tell them the truth. It is a cultureless suburb full of 20-story office buildings, Irish pubs, and self-righteous white people. That's our story.
Amen. Somebody is finally speaking up.
Speak the truth.
There was a very popular book that was written as a children's book, but it was really for adults a couple of years ago that came out called Go the F to Sleep. And you remember at that time Samuel L. Jackson did a very funny video reading it. Well, it's back, and this time Jennifer Garner reads Go the F to Sleep.
The cubs and lions are snoring, wrapped in a big snuggly heap. How come you can do all this other great but you can't lie the down and sleep? The end.
I've Aww. Missed Jennifer Garner. I'm glad she's back, by the way.
She's totes adorbs.
I'm sorry, Dave.
You heard him. Yeah. Keep going.
Donald Trump has been, long before he decided to run for president, has been the embodiment of the American dream for a lot of people. His name has become synonymous with wealth. And that's why somebody put together a supercut of dozens of movies where Donald Trump is either in the movie or mentioned in the dialogue of the movie. It's a pretty impressive group of films.
Can't be real. Who wants dinner with Donald Trump?
You ever hear a guy named Nigel Griffith?
That's like asking a New Yorker if he's ever heard of Donald Trump.
Like Donald Trump says, if you want to make money, stick with what you love and know.
We made some very important business contacts.
Really? Doing what? Dancing the Macarena with Donald Trump?
Kevin, weren't you surprised how many movies have mentioned Donald Trump?
Yeah, I saw the title of it and I was like, wow, it was like 10 times what I thought it would be.
I saw a supercut a couple of months ago of all the times that he has been mentioned in rap lyrics, too, and there were over 100 of those where Donald Trump got a shout-out as well. Pretty impressive.
That's crazy.
All right, here's a viral video in the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup that came from one of our own. Ralph Garman and his friend Kevin Smith put together a pilot to bring Hollywood Babylon, their very popular podcast that they do live in town, to make it a TV show for AMC. So they shot a pilot for AMC. Unfortunately, it didn't get picked up, but it looks hilarious. This clip that has been released has them bringing out TV's original Batman, Adam West, to read Kanye West's lyrics from his song Bound 2. And along with everything Adam West does, it's brilliant.
She asked me what I wish for on the wish list. Have you ever asked your bitch for other bitches? Maybe we could still make it to the church steps. But first, you go and remember how to forget.
So good. There's a new funny news bloopers video. Somebody has taken the time to round up all the mistakes that happen on live news around the world throughout the month. Dave, this is a very long video. What was your favorite of the things that you saw in it?
So many. I don't know. The windscreens hitting the reporters, all kinds of things.
Yeah, everything that can go wrong in a newscast goes wrong, with people not being able to hear or people not having the right script. There's one scene where a woman is on the news reading a report and snot is just dripping down her face. And I don't know how she's not aware of it, but she doesn't do anything about it. But here's a little bit of the supercut of news bloopers.
Tonight, good evening, Paula.
I can't hear the broadcast. Has it started?
Oh, we're having a little trouble.
Watching the roadways for you, wanted a shart.
Probably going to have a lot more later today.
Well, Carrie, I'm afraid we could not hear most of that because the firepower was a little bit too great.
Yeah, he's doing a report from a gun range and just can't hear anything that he said.
Didn't take the sound into account?
No.
I guess not. The folks at Bad Lip Reading are back. They do such great work. These are the same people who do the NFL videos that we love so much, right, Dave?
That's correct, yes.
Now they're turning their attention to politics, and they have taken lots of video of Ted Cruz, the candidate for president from Texas. They've taken video of him walking around doing his speeches and whatnot, and they've given it the Bad Lip Reading treatment, and it's great. I think I might actually vote for this Ted Cruz.
There's one thing our country doesn't need more of. It's goose diarrhea.
You know what? I just love to twerk. Holla, 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 holla. Your face isn't my face. And that old man just took your spork.
He makes a lot more sense than some of the other candidates here. And finally, speaking of the elections, this past Tuesday was Super Tuesday. There were 13 states that cast their ballots looking toward the convention to determine who is going to be the nominees for presidents in both party. One of the states that did not participate was California, but that didn't stop Jimmy Kimmel from taking to the streets of Hollywood with what he calls lie witness news as he asked people on the street, did you vote this morning? And of course, none of them could because there was no election in California, but they still lied about it.
Did you like that new hologram voting system?
It's interesting, but I always am skeptical about
what can go wrong when you're introducing systems like that, so I'm always kind of like skeptical.
What did you think about the new voting system this year where you could vote by blinking your eye?
Yeah, I wasn't too fond of that. I feel like, you know, that system can be manipulated. I mean, who to really know how that works and who's in charge and how the votes get tallied?
Oh, God.
Every person they talked to, by the way, claimed to have voted and even talked about whether it was busy at the polling place and who they voted for and why. I mean, all of them lied. And that's why that segment is so funny. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KREC.com or KevinDeBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup, Oh!
It's Kevin and Bean on KROQ.
Yeah, it is.
And it is 8:53.
Ralph Garman, how about our friend Jay Moore being added to the lineup for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016?
He is like the Superman of comedy.
Yeah, right?
You're in the building burning. Help! Help! I'll save you. Just comes in and just boom. Drop the mic.
We were already delighted with Bob Saget, Eddie Eft, and Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, Wheeler Walker Jr. as well. Jay Moore just added to fill in for Bill Burr because Bill Burr had some sort of scheduling
conflict.
We had a hole, right. So Jay stepped up, and Kevin, I understand that you guys had an interesting exchange trying to make that happen yesterday.
Well,
it seemed like it took you about 4 hours to figure out whether it was real or not.
I got a text from Jay that said, foolishness, and then I got another text from Jay that said, I have a gun. Or, this is Jay, I have a gun.
Oh.
What?
And so I was like, what?
You sure was more?
Yes.
There'd have been another Jay?
No, it was Jay Moore. So I was like, what the F? Like, I know him reasonably well. We all know his sense of humor reasonably
he's
well.
He's going to kill you.
And about 6 hours later, he texted me. That was Eliza Schlesinger. She was there recording a podcast, picked up his phone, and texted me on it. Jay Moore, and I have a gun. So I texted him back, and I was like, hey, how about stepping in? He's like, absolutely. So that's pretty cool.
He is a great guy, and he's so, so funny on stage. He's played Foolishness before, and he always kills. This is, and we've said this before, this is one of the best nights of comedy anywhere in America all year long, and it's all for charity, benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NIQ. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon. Don't miss this. Your show is April 2nd at the Shrine. Get your details at krock.com. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
Early on in the publicity campaign, the promotional advertising campaign for KFC restaurants, I was saddened, perplexed and saddened, because they brought out Daryl Hammond from SNL, and they had him be the new Colonel Sanders. And I thought, oh, that's weird, strange bunch of commercials with him singing and walking down crowded highways and stuff. And I was perplexed.
Yeah, it was a little creepy.
Then they S-canned him and brought in Norm MacDonald. And I was like, oh, that's tragic that the campaign went so poorly they had to pull the ripcord in the middle of it and recast and bring in someone else. Then I watched those commercials equally scratching my head saying, well, so they're talking about the fact that they replaced the actor mid-commercial? I'm confused. But then they went to Jim Gaffigan, and then he was the new Colonel Sanders. And I was like, they have lost their minds. What's the turnover there in that advertising department? And then today it all fell into place for me. It all made sense. A beam of light broke through the clouds and struck me from heaven.
I wish that beam would hit me.
Well, it will. When I announce to you the new Colonel Sanders, the new actor they're bringing in to play Colonel Sanders from the KFC commercials.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
David Alan Greer is going to be the new Colonel Sanders in the KFC commercials.
I love that so much.
Right? This is the best Shaggy Dog story ever.
I love that so much.
Everything else has been set up for this moment where we get to see David Alan Greer in the white suit and the white hair and the little goatee selling chicken for KFC. How brilliant.
You don't think they were making a save?
Nope.
I think they had planned all along.
Wow. We're going to introduce a series of different comic actors playing this character.
And the plan was to have them fail. Or to
be eye-catching, at least make you scratch your head and watch and say, what's going on here?
Wow.
And it was jab, 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 uppercut.
Gag.
Is what it was.
All right, I have to ask this question because you're probably thinking the same thing, and it needs to be discussed. Do you think they always wanted to have a black guy selling chicken but didn't want to start with that because they would be accused of being racist? Oh. So this was all a big campaign to make it make more sense somehow, be more palatable to, hey, look, we had all these other comedians too. It's just because he's a comedian. Mm,
didn't even enter
that,
my mind.
I was not thinking that at all. It was not the question in my head.
So you're fine with making Dag shuck and jive for your fried chicken. That's what you're saying.
Holy crap. How
that's
good.
You're a ruiner of things.
No, I'm asking. We were all basking in how brilliant they are, and you ruined it.
Because you're not thinking about the evil machinations of the Kentucky Fried Chicken Corporation, who are racist bastards who are just trying to figure out how to fool the American public into accepting their racism.
What the hell?
Hang on, let me add to my list, KFC.
I'm just serious.
I'm just asking if you think that's part of what's going on here.
None of us thought that. It didn't occur to any of us.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you got to start looking a step ahead then, because you're getting blindsided by this.
Oh, sorry, Dean. You gotta get that.
Hey, I'm not on the phone, though. No, you need to pick it up
in the other room.
Right. They need to talk to you quickly about some important radio news. There's a station in Ottawa that's changed its call letters. Quick. Run to the radio hotline.
Yeah, I read about that. I saw that last day. So you think it's fine that this
is okay.
What is wrong with you? All right. Black guy can sell fried chicken, and you're fine with that. That's fine.
Holy moly.
I guess they pulled a fast one on all of us then. I'm happy for Dag, though. He's great.
Well, obviously.
First he's sad William Shatner's going to die.
See, everything that comes out of
his mouth. You're on fire this week. You're on fire.
I have a lot of feelings
about a lot of things. Stop having feelings. They serve you poorly.
You get the sense his feelings are just dying to just get out and run away and not be part of it anymore.
They want to separate themselves from Bean as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see who's cast as the new Bean next week. That'll be the part I'm looking forward to.
Dag.
That'd be straight. Today's celebrity birthdays, iconic director George Miller, the man behind Mad Max and also Babe, the talking pig. How adorable is that?
That's a great movie.
Yeah, they're all great movies. He's a very talented man, 71 years old today. Actress Julie Bowen, who we loved. I guess we first fell in love with her on Ed. Remember Ed?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. With Tom Cavanaugh, where he went back to his hometown to buy the bowling alley and get Carol Vesey, the woman that he fell in love with,
She was wonderful on that show.
She was adorable on that show, and now she's equally adorable and funny on Modern Family, 46 years old today. And Jessica Biel. We were questioning earlier, what's up with her? And somebody said she just had a baby, but apparently she just opened a new restaurant too, so she can do it all.
Okay,
she can bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan, and she will never ever let you forget that you're a man.
Is she a WOMAN?
She is indeed. Real quick correction before I sign off here. Remember when I said how everyone was looking forward to WrestleMania 32 tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's April 3rd. Just wanted to...
But you can still be looking forward
to it. You can, just don't look for it tonight.
What about the 10 minutes we talked about that last hour?
You would be very disappointed. I apparently misinformed by a well-meaning wrestling fan who wanted to give me the heads up to start talking about it, and they wrote the wrong month in their message, and so I was a month premature with WrestleMania.
So you'll only have to wait a month, though.
So as opposed to it being tonight, it's a month from now.
Wrong.
Which are different things entirely if you're all hung up on that time-space thing. So that's on you, right?
Right.
Right. Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey! Come on and play!
Hey!
Perfect.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank
Perfect.
You. The cheese stands alone.
Perfect.
That's me.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. How are you at Guitar Hero, by the way, Kevin?
Rock it. Crush it.
Are you good at it?
Destroy it.
Murder it.
Ralph, have you ever played Guitar Hero?
Not once.
I am pretty good at it. Bean, thank you for asking.
We are giving away one right now to caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about Guitar Hero Live, your choice, either PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. Just a little freebie for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Call now, caller 20. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Well, the Twitterverse is all oogly googly.
Twitter?
It's all blown up. A lot of
about
varying opinions.
Saying.
Upon the new release of the new first Ghostbusters reboot trailer. Ghostbusters rebooted with an all-female cast, of course. Now the first trailer has arrived online, and you can see it for yourself and go,
Wow.
Never heard of that.
I just want to congratulate everyone involved with the project. First of all, to have the courage to save all of the funny parts for the actual movie and put none in the trailer, which I thought was a bold, bold move on their part. Kudos. And also, speaking of courage, for putting that, that's going to leave a mark gag in the movie because that's some balls right there. If you are going to say, you know what? Whatever. With Tommy Boy and Spaceballs and Seinfeld and every other place we've seen that joke. We're going to put it in. Because I ain't afraid of old jokes.
Oh, my God.
So oh my just. God.
I don't even want to see that go in the file. I think that worked.
That was well played. Nothing but courage from the Ghostbusters folks.
Look, Ralph,
good for them. I'm saying good for them, B.
I feel you. I feel what you're saying.
You don't feel.
I do. Don't you, as I do, admire Paul Feig as an artist, as a director, as a writer? He's good. And I think this movie is going to be good. Maybe the trailer didn't blow you away, but I bet the movie is going to be good.
You're half.
You love Kristen Wiig? You're a fan of Melissa McCarthy?
He loves Kate McKinnon.
Love
Kate McKinnon's your favorite?
Oh, she puts on that wig. Oh, laugh. Well, I thought I'd cry.
She's got a
funny wig on. What's wrong with you people? Once again, courage.
It's not a 1-2 punch of laughs.
Yeah, the trailer is not great. But I still have hope for the movie, is all I'm saying.
Same. I think it was supposed to touch on a little bit of nostalgia, which it did for me, and I enjoyed.
Yep.
The effects are amazing. And seeing them for the first time in the uniforms, that is delightful.
Well,
thank you.
All reason enough to go see a film. I like when they put on those clothes.
Well, come on. When they get into the Ghostbuster uniforms,
that was the plus. You saw the trailer and said, I can't wait to see these people wear this clothing.
That's real talk right there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, with Bean and Allie, and that hurts me.
It does look like a remake of the first movie, too.
What? How
like
dare
almost
you,
shot,
sir.
Shot for shot, plot point for plot point. And maybe that's fine because maybe most people haven't seen Ghostbusters. Maybe this is let's introduce this to a whole new audience. Let's start from scratch.
And there's slime, right?
Of course there's going to be slime. How could there not be
slime?
And it
gets everywhere.
In cracks and everything.
Another joke we got. I say kudos.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
I agree, kid.
This goes back to my original take on this film, which was, why not take these four funny women and put them in a fresh, newly created franchise that you want to have them shine in versus forcing them to carry the baggage of a remake, reboot, reimagining, whatever you want to call it.
I don't disagree with that. But this is the movie we have, Ralph, and this is the movie we're going to enjoy.
I know. Look.
Says the guy that's not going to see any movie ever.
And he's told me I'm going to enjoy it, by the way. Sounds vaguely threatening. This is the movie we have, and this is the movie we're going to enjoy.
Or you're
going
to turn the car around.
Or there's going to be a price to pay.
This is the equivalent of you're going to eat it, you're going to like it.
That's right. I can see it on the poster. The broccoli of movies.
I still believe.
Well, let's save this tape for when Ralph goes to see the movie and then comes in and goes, oh, I was so wrong, you guys. It's great.
I am just talking about the trailer. That's all. Just telling you reflections of a trailer.
Hey,
the name of my new book, and I hope you'll pick it up.
We thought the Zoolander trailer was great.
So
sometimes trailers and movies don't match up is what I'm saying.
I'm saying, once again, you thought the Zoolander trailer
it
was
really
great.
Was.
That
it
says
was
more
great.
About you than it does the trailer. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's talk about something we can all agree on. The breaking news that we have yet another Colonel Sanders. This is the best thing I've ever heard.
And now, breaking news, Boone.
I was initially confused by the proclivity KFC had with replacing the actors playing Colonel Sanders in their commercials. In rapid succession, we went from Daryl Hammond to Norm MacDonald to Jim Gaffigan. I was like, what the heck's going on here? Now I see where it was all leading up to. They were setting us up, body blow after body blow, till our hands came down, and then boom, right cross, knockout.
just announced David Alan Greer will be the new Colonel Sanders in the KFC commercials. That's awesome.
Well, I love DAG. How do you know that this is what they were going for? How do you know this isn't a step along the way? And
well, that was my question. Like, are they making
Haley Joel Osment is going to be doing it next?
What?
Haley Joel
or whoever.
Now I'm all,
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever, anyone.
I'm on the other side.
Do you think there's still more hilarity yet
well,
to
I'm
come?
Well, I'm saying we don't know that this was the goal is DAG. He could just be another step on the ladder.
I'm just
we don't
saying
know
if they're smart, they'll stop here. And DAG will be selling KFC for the rest of our days.
For the rest of our days.
For the rest of our days.
Okay.
Until old Sol herself, the sun that we orbit around.
What's happening?
Old Sol herself?
Goes cold and black.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is.
Right, Rodney?
Sol, S-O-L. It's the name of our sun. That's our.
This, you said this, Sol. Like he was just this Jewish guy.
Not S-A-U-L. S-O-L.
Well, you have Sol. An accent, Mr. That's my Juan.
Sol.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Sol.
Sol? Oh, I did not know. You are from Sweden. Oh, I enjoy Sol. When I get in the sauna, I like Sol. Allie fell asleep in the shower.
She
so
fell
that's
asleep
all you need to know.
In the shower.
That's all you need to know about Allie McCann.
Listen, I guarantee other people have done that.
Yeah,
I am
we'll
not
talk
alone.
About that tomorrow.
All right.
Is that a big call in time
yep.
for tomorrow? Call in if you fell asleep in the shower. We're out. We're out of things.
Allie's convinced there are thousands of people out there just waiting to side with her.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But they're all snoozing. They can't hear us. This is interesting. Kanye West released a photo of his computer screen the other day. Sufjan Stevens. Does that make any sense? Does that
yes.
mean
very popular singer-songwriter from Chicago. Love
Death
him.
With Dignity was the name of the song. The official audio was on the Kanye's computer screen, and he took a photo of that and posted it for all to see on Instagram. However, upon closer examination, you could see on his screen that he also has had an open tab for Pirate Bay, which is a popular torrent site for stealing music.
Yay!
Oops.
Now, this isn't a site like Spotify or iTunes or any place where the artist gets paid for the download. This is
straight illegal.
This is straight.
Yeah.
Straight up stealing. And everyone's saying, he talks so much about artists and money and everything else, and he's stealing music to listen to?
Maybe well, he doesn't have a title subscription.
There may be a new theory, Al. You're not far off the mark. Some what? Are saying what he's doing is, in his infinite ego, is watching torrent sites to see how many illegal downloads of his music
not
is, is racking
no
up.
No way. Not he's not that crafty.
You don't think he's
crafty.
So egomaniacal he wants to see mm-mm. how many people are stealing his music so he can see who's looking at it?
I don't think...
Nah.
I think that makes sense.
He couldn't, be tracking it?
Torrent sites, by their very nature, are impossible to track. And he's not smart enough to do mm-mm. that.
Well, no, you can see how many illegal downloads are made of a file. You absolutely can. They release lists all the time of the most illegally downloaded movies, songs, what have you.
I mean, that does make sense because obviously his album is heavily pirated right now because he won't allow it to be sold.
Right.
I buy that description. I wondered, though, because of how upset Deadmau5 got over it yesterday, if it really had more to do with that proprietary software program that Deadmau5 thought that Kanye was trying to steal from him. So who knows what he was doing there. But it does seem like, as an artist, he should never be on Pirate Bay.
Right. I guess that's the point, is that no one in the business should ever, for any reason, visit one of those sites. I bet Taylor Swift doesn't, because you know what a greedy whore she is. I mean, you know what an upstanding arts rights activist she is.
Right. I mean, the whole point, and I'm glad you brought up Tidal, Allie, the whole point of Kanye appearing on that stage with all those artists was to say, look, it's time for artists to get paid. That's why we're throwing our support behind this site. And then, of course, none of us want to go there, so none of us have heard of them.
And, Kevin, I know how you feel about wax museums.
Yeah, they're dumb.
But this is going to change your opinion. This is going to win you over to the side of the angels.
The side of the angels?
Yes.
They love the wax museums?
Of course they do.
I didn't know that.
They blog about it.
Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in Vegas has just unveiled a new statue. And I think you're going to want to see it, Kevin.
I doubt it.
Topless Justin Bieber. Topless Justin Bieber.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Come on. He's topless. He's ripped.
Right.
I feel like topless, that's something you say for ladies. Maybe
well,
shirtless.
There you go.
Oh.
Once again, you can encapsulate my thoughts perfectly. Not only do you see his buff, sexy bod, say fans, but all of his more than 50 tattoos are exactly replicated on the Wax Museum statue.
This is the
time for another guest.
It took 20 artists 3 months to carve the wax. They say shirtless Bieber is worth $350,000.
Shut up.
You heard me.
That's so stupid.
You heard me.
This is the Wax Museum going, F it. Let's just do something that kids will come to.
Nope. This is replacing the old statue, which still had Justin's old bowl cut and was just so, so passe. But yeah. Now we got new, fresh wax beebs.
Nope.
So enjoy that when you go to Vegas next time. I hope they still have the Nicki Minaj Anaconda set. That's the one I really like, where people were going up behind her and doing this.
Yep. That was funny.
Taking pictures.
She was on all fours, and it did not make for... I mean, it did make for some pretty great photos.
Yes, it did.
Kevin, remind me again why...
They don't look anything like the people. See, and
they, but we, they do we got now, to the though. Bottom of this. You went to the janky one in Hollywood.
By
you
the
haven't
way,
been to the good one.
I was mouthing off about the wax museums, and everybody here said, oh, you haven't been there, so let's go. We went to the Hollywood one, and
no,
it is just
you went
stupid.
To the Hollywood
no, you went
wax
to the
museum.
Janky Hollywood one.
You didn't go to Madame Tussauds. You didn't go to
And it
the...
was also like 20 years ago, and
right.
the
technology has caught up now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin?
The wax figures now are identical. They look like clones of the humans.
Right.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Would you be interested in a field trip?
Oh,
no.
Yes.
We take you.
Wait,
field
I thought
trip.
I got to answer.
No. Nope.
Field trip.
No.
Field trip. I'll meet you there.
Trip.
No,
oh,
we're going to get a bus.
I'll meet you
we're
there.
We're going to get bus.
Yes,
we're gonna
we'll
get,
have cocktails.
We're going to get permission slips.
I'll meet you there.
You're going to have to bring a lunch.
Right.
You're going to need a buddy.
I'll
you're
meet
gonna,
you there.
Be the buddy system, and we are going on a field trip.
When are we
going
to meet there?
We're going to get a chaperone, and we are going.
We're going to write your name in your undies.
If I was drunk and outside of the wax museum, I wouldn't go in.
I don't
But
believe
what we're telling
true.
You is that if you were standing in front of
but
a wax
I'm telling
figure
you is I don't care.
Right, but you can't just go around. Look,
I
there's
can.
No information,
yeah,
Kevin.
If
you
we
can't
ignored,
go around for the rest.
Field check,
if we ignored
check,
every subject
check.
That you didn't care about, we wouldn't talk about anything
right,
on this
but
show.
I don't have to care about subjects
okay.
that I don't care about.
But let me say this, Kevin. Let me say this. There's new information now. You can't just walk around spouting off about how lame wax figures are if
yes,
you haven't seen one in 20
I
years.
I can.
But
you
it
can't.
Doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't care.
Hold on, Bean. Are you saying
what?
That Kevin can't come from a place of ignorance when he's talking yeah. about a subject?
I am saying that.
How long you've been working with him?
I'm if willing to admit that I'm ignorant on this topic, but what I've seen tells me I'm good.
But
I don't
why
care.
Why wouldn't you
want
to stand
all day
across
long and enjoy that
from
who
a
cares?
Wax figure
it's
of Katy Perry?
Figure.
And it looks exactly like Katy Perry, though. That's remarkable.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
Chip, we're going to need that piece of audio where Kevin says, I'm man enough to admit I'm completely ignorant on this topic. We're going to need that.
And because, right.
Because that's going to come in handy. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jessica Biel's 34 years old today. The lovely, talented, funny, sweet Julie Bowen from Modern Family turns 46. And George Miller, director from the juggernaut Oscar-winning film Mad Max Fury Road, as well as many, many other films, 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. Kenny Florian talks UFC 196. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Kenhead.
What?
I'm sorry, what happened?
I'm sorry?
Kenhead.
Kevin got all the time
like
in the world for Kenhead.
Suctions to his head?
I have all day for that.
Yeah, you do.
That's Kevin's wheelhouse right there. I don't need to know about stupid politics, presidential. Oh, look, Kenhead. That's what goes on in Kevin's head.
He does stick beer cans to his head.
I mean,
that
come on, Ralph.
And full handles of vodka
right.
and pulls them off his head.
I don't, democracy is a can head. Look, a guy with a can on head.
Also, the star of the last Man on Earth, Will Forte. And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness, and that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.